Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 56 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. At least one Denver resident is really angry at Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper's stance on gay marriages. Joel Levitt, a veterans representative in the Denver Mayor's Office of Workforce Development, says he plans to collect signatures for a recall of Hickenlooper. Levitt says Hickenlooper, quote, could have remained mute to his personal beliefs. The mayor recently spoke out against a constitutional amendment prohibiting gay marriage. Yesterday, President Bush urged Congress to protect the institution of marriage with an amendment. Levitt needs 29,613 signatures to force a recall. Say hello to Dr. John DiBiagio. The University of Colorado announced DiBiagio's appointment to the newly created position of Special Assistant to the President and Chancellor. DiBiagio will serve as a direct liaison between the athletic department and the university administration. CU Chancellor Richard Binney says DiBiagio will also serve as a resource to the independent investigative panel during its general inquiry. DiBiagio has served as president of Tufts, Michigan State, and Connecticut. He was also a member of the Knight Foundation Blue Ribbon Commission on Intercollegiate Athletics. The commission's goal was to make recommendations to stop abuses in major college sports. According to Binney, DiBiagio is widely recognized as an expert on ethical and behavioral issues related to college athletics. The tug of war over Tracy Baker's job as Arapahoe County clerk is over. Last night, Baker lost. After 19 months, Baker has been overwhelmingly recalled by county voters. John Brackney is one of the leaders with the committee to recall.
It's been a long time coming. I knew it would come, but if you think on how long this is, it's the average length of a state legislator's entire term that we've been trying to get him out of office.
Baker was accused of creating a hostile work environment, mismanaging county funds, and sending sexually explicit emails on county computers to his girlfriend and subordinate. County Assessor Ed Bozier was in charge of the $500,000 election. He says at this point any challenge against it will have to start with a call to Baker's lawyer.
I mean, I'm sure he always has some remedy in court to challenge the election, I guess. But I'm fairly new at this, as you probably know, so I don't know that there is anything except for challenging the election in the courts.
Baker's recall created a job opening. Voters selected Republican Nancy Doty to fill it. President Bush says the U.S. is continuing efforts to influence a peaceful solution in the growing strife in Haiti.
We still hope to be able to achieve a political settlement between the current government and the rebels. We are watching the situation very carefully.
Bush told reporters that he's urging the international community to provide a security presence in Haiti. Bush made the comments after a White House meeting with the president of Georgia, a former Soviet republic. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan is calling for cuts in Social Security benefits for future retirees as a way to curb government spending. But President Bush quickly responded by saying Social Security benefits should be off limits to people at or near retirement age. Greenspan made his comments while testifying before a congressional panel on Capitol Hill. The defense has rested in Martha Stewart's stock fraud trial. The domestic diva's attorneys called just one witness to the stand, and it wasn't Stewart. She and her former stockbroker, Peter Pekanovic, are charged with covering up the reason behind her sale of ImClone System shares in December of 2001. Hundreds of thousands of people are flocking to see Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ that was released nationwide today. Dr. Ted Baer, chairman of the Christian Film and TV Commission, says the movie will transform people's lives. However, J.J. Goldberg of the Jewish newspaper The Forward says he's worried about what other countries will think of the movie.
It's Europe, it's the Middle East, it's Latin America that I'm worried about. This movie isn't only going to be shown in America, where Jews and Christians get along very well.
Goldberg says Europe will most likely become more anti-Semitic after seeing the film. John Kerry's nearly nonstop ride to the Democratic presidential nomination gathered more steam yesterday. He picked up another big endorsement today. With wins in Idaho, Utah, and Hawaii yesterday, Kerry now has won 18 of the 20 nominating contests that have been held across the country. Today, retired Ohio Senator and former astronaut John Glenn threw his support behind Kerry. Stocks were higher across the board heading into the last 2 hours of today's trading session. Dow is up 31 points, the NASDAQ up nearly 13, the S&P 500 up almost 3. In sports, the Denver Nuggets play host to the L.A. Lakers tonight. The Lakers beat the Nuggets when the two teams last met in January. Nuggets coming off their loss to the Grizzlies in Memphis on Monday. In college basketball, the CU Buffs play host to the Oklahoma Sooners tonight. No game for the Colorado Avalanche tonight. They'll be back on the ice at the Pepsi Center tomorrow night against the St. Louis Blues. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-TOGO-ANG. That's 1-800-TOGO-ANG. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
What's important to me?
You can rely on us at Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm a single mom, and I've always got somewhere to go.
No matter where you are.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work. When I take the kids to school.
When it's important to you.
News is important to me.
Rely on Denver's AM 1150.
That's what's important to me.
KNRC.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music filled before you. Horacio Gutierrez joins the Colorado Symphony Orchestra on February 27th, 28th, and 29th to perform Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 1. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Subway. Got a bit of a problem. Sounds like an accident. Eastbound I-70 at I-25. Watch for that. A couple problems downtown. 18th and Lafayette. 14th and Albion. And we have an injury accident. Spear at Corona. Counting carbs, try Subway's new salads like the grilled chicken and baby spinach. All are made fresh before your eyes with your choice of regular or carb-controlled dressings. Also, try Subway's new carb-controlled wraps. Eat fresh. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. Enid Goldstein's next on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're going to see mostly cloudy skies through the mid-morning, but then a partly cloudy afternoon, not too bad, high of 57. Tonight, clear, 29. Tomorrow and Friday, lots of sun, just a few clouds. 61 our high tomorrow. Friday, a little breezy as well, 56. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and then I'm not going to be yours for a few more days. I will be back with you most likely on Monday, but possibly on Tuesday. Why the question? Well, they're trying to get me into the Academy Awards. It's really a long shot at this point because we got started in this very late. I have covered the Academy Awards in the past. I've written about it for the Sunday magazine of the San Francisco Chronicle Examiner. And it's a lot of fun, and I was going to try and bring you all the highlights live, but we'll see. I mean, this is a mad dash. In the meantime, I have to go to Washington, D.C. early tomorrow morning, and I will be there until Saturday to a talk radio seminar that I do every year, and it alternates between Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles. Doug Kellett will be there as well. He'll be doing his show live from the Capitol. I won't be because my hours sort of conflict with the conference, and the whole point is to be at the conference. We're going to be speaking to us will be Peter Jennings and Mike Wallace and Matt Drudge and a lot of other people, Tony Snow. So I'll bring you the highlights of that. Maybe if I have a chance to, I'll wander into Doug's show. But you will be in really good hands. Tom Reed, T.R. Reed, is going to be filling in for me. He is the Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief for the Washington Post. He has been the London Bureau Chief for the Post, the Tokyo Bureau Chief for the Post. So he has distinguished credentials, and he's had a distinguished career, and he does commentary also for NPR. You've heard him before. So he's going to be in for me on Thursday and on Friday. If I don't get to the Academy Awards, I'll be back with you on Monday. And if I do get to the Academy Awards, I'll probably be with you on Monday from Los Angeles. So one of those two ways, I will most likely see you on Monday, is the only thing I can tell you now. But this is what's so great about live radio. It's very improvisational, a little bit seat of the pants. Lots to talk about later in the broadcast. We're going to be joined by Rocky Mountain film critic Bob Dennerstein. He has seen The Passion of Christ, and I really would like to hear his take on it because it is so controversial. Want to congratulate Seal Berry for her 500 win. Here's her picture on the front of the Rocky Mountain News, and here she is, her 500th win. A very different picture than what you're getting from Gary Barnett and Dick Tharp. But this is CU Women's Basketball. Sounds like she's done it right. Her people love her. She has been at the university something like 21 years or so. She, only 23 other active coaches of women's programs are a member of the 500 group here. So congratulations to her for running what looks to be like a wonderful and very successful program. She has this motto, which I like a lot. She says, hard work will win over talent when talent doesn't work. So think, remember that one, boys and girls and buckaroos. I want to bring this up to you because I think this is so horrible, and I'm going to be on an airplane tomorrow morning early. If you try to check through in your luggage, and most people aren't aware of this, but if you try to check through in your luggage knives and things that should not go on a plane, they'll not only confiscate these things, but some weeks later you're going to get a bill that could be as high as $1,500. And they don't tell you. There are no signs posted. I remember coming back from Italy just a few weeks ago, coming back from Venice. There were seven of us that went all together. And one of our people had a wine cork, had a wine, you know, corkscrew in her luggage. It was just a tiny one. But let me tell you, about a dozen agents descended on us. And if this had happened in this country, she might have been billed. Maybe she's still going to get a bill for it. But very, very, very careful. If you put anything in your check on luggage that they could confiscate, a knife, a pointed object, a corkscrew, I don't even know if you can do cuticle scissors or clippers or tweezers. Assuming that stuff is questionable, just pack it away. Depends on what the alert level is. If it's an orange alert, I don't even think you can do tweezers in your carry-on. And I'm not sure what it is in a yellow alert. But in any event, if you have any questions at all, don't even think about it. And I think a razor, I don't think you can do that in your carry-on. Don't even try it. They're going to send you a huge bill. The TSA is going to, the screeners, the Transportation Security Administration, whatever they call themselves, they're going to send you a huge bill for it. So be very careful. And they don't post any signs, so I think this is really not fair. They need to post signs and let people know. The only way you know about it is when you get a bill. And there was some woman who got married, and she got some kind of a cheese set or a cocktail set or something that had something pointy, and it was silver, and she carried it on. They not only confiscated it, they sent her a bill for about $300 to pay for it, and she wouldn't do it, and now they've sent her a second bill that's got penalties for $600. Oh, and here's the other thing. If you display attitude, they'll up your fine, and they're not spelling out what attitude consists of. But any attitude at all, and that's it. They step on the gas. Is this the kind of society? I mean, why do we need Osama bin Laden? We're doing it to ourselves is what I'm thinking. 303-382-1150. Why should they send you a bill if they've confiscated your item? Let's say it's an expensive razor. Let's say it's an expensive little tweezers or little scissors or something like that. They take it, which is insult enough, but to add injury to it, you will get a bill. And if you don't pay that bill right away, and it's $150, I think, a minimum, if you don't pay that bill right away for what they have confiscated, they'll immediately send you a second bill that doubles it or ups it substantially. You want to comment about that? 303-382-1150. Yesterday, we talked a great deal about gay marriage, and I have more information. But one of you talked about this, and I got an email from Arnie and another story here that I'm looking at in the Rocky. And here is a group called the Rocky Mountain Progressive Network. And what they are doing is that they have concocted something called a fidelity pledge that they're going to give to Colorado lawmakers as well as Governor Bill Owens and U.S. Rep. Marilyn Musgrave, who supported the proposed federal marriage amendment to the U.S. Constitution. They're asking the supporters of the federal marriage amendment, which is bans gay marriage, a constitutional ban on gay marriage, who claim to be protecting marriage, to sign a pledge that their conduct is consistent with their rhetoric. And what it is a fidelity pledge, that they pledge their fidelity. The 39 elected officials in Colorado who support Congresswoman Marilyn Musgrave's ban on gay marriage should sign a public fidelity pledge in their own relationships. And this would include Governor Owens as well. Well, we know that he's engaged in a trial separation with his wife, but neither he nor his wife have ever issued statements that say nobody else was involved in their separation. So, if you're going to support the federal marriage amendment to the U.S. Constitution, the Rocky Mountain Progressive Network is asking you to sign a fidelity pledge that you will remain monogamous, that you will, pledge your fidelity to your spouse. The Rocky Mountain Progressive Network called on Republican officials who want to bring these laws into our bedroom to sign a pledge that says each person who violates a commitment undermines the institution of marriage. We ask the supporters of the federal marriage amendment, who claim to be protecting marriage, to pledge that their conduct is consistent with their rhetoric, said Michael Huttner, the group's executive director. He said at a news conference that he's asking Governor Owens, who separated from his wife Frances, to sign the pledge. Other on the group's list include Wayne Allard, Senator Wayne Allard, Representative Bob Beaupre, Representative Marilyn Musgrave, Representative Tom Tancredo, and legislators ranging from John Andrews and Ken Clauber to Pam Rhodes and Debbie Stafford. The pledge forms were distributed to the Republican lawmakers, who reacted with anger, amusement, and as little acknowledgement as possible. The governor is in Washington, hasn't seen it, therefore can't react to it at this point, said his spokesman. Representative Kevin Lundberg, who is sponsoring a resolution calling for support of Musgrave's proposed constitutional amendment, said he wouldn't play political games by answering whether he would sign. Congressman Tom Tancredo's spokesperson said it looks like a pretty desperate attempt by a non-organization to get some attention. What do you think about the Progressive Network, the Rocky Mountain Progressive Network? If you're going to support this federal marriage amendment, which would ban gay marriage, a constitutional ban on gay marriage, what about being asked to sign a pledge of fidelity? 303-382-1150. I think it's just delicious. 303-382-1150. Ron, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid.
Hi, Ron.
Congratulations for bringing this up. This is the best thing I've heard in years from a talk show host.
Isn't this deliciously wicked?
Hey, and I want to go to both sides of the aisle with this, because you'll bring a lot of cockroaches out of the woodwork in their past lives.
In their past lives or their present lives?
How do we
know they're alive?
Well, you know, no.
But don't you think this is really great? In other words, if you're going to support this ban on gay marriages, why not sign this? If you want to strengthen, if what your position is that you want to, quote, strengthen the institution of marriage, what strengthens the institution of marriage but commitment and fidelity? And you're being asked to sign this pledge.
And that's what your vows are supposed to be, in church or in front of the judge.
Well, I think this is really great. And I wonder who's going to sign it and who isn't. I think we should keep a list.
Oh, yeah, because I look at both sides of the aisle, and I see Newt Gingrich, who dumped his wife when she was dying of cancer and left money there on her bedroom. You remember that?
I don't think he left any money, because her church had a supporter. He was really cheap when it came to support for the kids.
Then I look on the opposite side, like Gary Hart in the monkey business, or Governor Roy Romer, the way he treated Bea, and they caught him kissing another gal in Washington. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say not even the politicians. I'd say people in the media, too.
In the media, too? No, what? Just the ones who support the government intrusion into your marital situation.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say, Ron. I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. So here you have the Rocky Mountain Progressive Network for those legislators who are supporting the ban on the constitutional ban on gay marriage, which is calling itself the supporters of the federal marriage amendment. The Rocky Mountain Progressive Network is asking them to sign a fidelity pledge. Do you think any of them are going to do this? What about Governor Owens? Was anybody involved in his separation from his wife? That question has never been publicly answered. 303-382-1150. Front page of the New York Times. Bush is keeping faith with his base. What he's doing in the ban, the constitutional ban on gay marriage, is exactly what we talked about yesterday. It is a cardinal rule of politics, and New York says, all the more so for a president who saw his father defeated largely because of it. Pay attention to the party's base. In recent weeks, on a variety of fronts, President George W. Dickey Bush has done just that, trying to allay the concerns and stoke the spirits of his restive conservative base. So they are restive, they are restless. And he wants to consolidate them, so therefore, the constitutional ban on gay marriage. His impassioned endorsement of a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage after weeks of intensive lobbying by social conservatives was the culmination of this rapprochement. So he is trying to consolidate his base. Then you have the legislature posturing on the pledge. Remember all of that? Well, they have now rewritten it. So that it pretty much doesn't say very much, except that they can now posture and say that they were behind this pledge thing that has to be recited in the schools, except that you can't force people to recite it. There are free speech issues. So schools can provide a time where you can elect to say the pledge or not. It's pretty much meaningless. It's just a lot of public posturing, and the Denver Post is upset about it, and this is what they're saying under the headline, Legislature's Hollow Promise. So again, more posturing. You have these empty legislators who want to shore up their base, and they do this by moving into your bedroom and spying on you in the bedroom, telling you what you can and cannot do. That's number one. And number two, whether you have to say the pledge or not. We have really serious issues. Colorado is going down the tubes. We have serious financial problems in Colorado, economic problems in Colorado, lots of cuts in programs in Colorado, and these people are posturing about the pledge, which has had to be rewritten. The mandate to say the pledge in order to accommodate free speech issues, so essentially it's meaningless. So here's what the Post says. Since Colorado lawmakers have been told by the courts they can't mandate patriotism, they now just want to recommend it. But by amending a mandatory Pledge of Allegiance bill into a bill that simply allows students, quote, the opportunity to recite it, lawmakers are close to passing legislation that in the end will only make them feel good about themselves. It won't change much for Colorado students, most of whom already start each day with the pledge. It's another legislative cure in search of a problem. Unless, of course, the problem is how to placate social conservatives. Meanwhile, the real problems for schools, such as the achievement gap between ethnic minorities and whites, will continue to mount. Under a compromise that the ACLU agrees not to challenge in court, students will no longer be required to recite the pledge if House Bill 1002 is approved. Last year's law mandated teachers and students to say the pledge, but allowed students to opt out if they were not U.S. citizens, for religious reasons, or if their parents gave written permission. However, the ACLU challenged it in court, and it was temporarily blocked by a federal judge who allowed lawmakers time to fix it. But there's nothing to fix. Jane Urschel of the Colorado Association of School Boards can't recall any school or school board that has ever forbidden a Colorado student from saying the pledge. If there was, then there might be some reason for lawmakers to lay the legal groundwork for students who want to recite it. So you see how hollow this is. You see what a gesture this is. You see what kind of posturing this is. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. We're talking about if you're going to support the ban on gay marriage, a constitutional ban on gay marriage, and you're a legislator, maybe you got to sign a fidelity pledge. How does that sound? Do you think anybody will do it? I just think it's so wickedly delicious. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I'd like to take a moment to thank both of the networks that gave us our start. Our friends in television, who supported us so well, and of course, Open, the small business network from American Express, who gave us a line of credit with no collateral required.
The Open Network gives you the tools to make big things happen. When you have an American Express business card, to apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN. Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Come on, one more scoop and you're done with the driveway.
Oh.
Now for the hard part, standing up straight, because your back is stuck at a 45-degree angle. But it won't be for long with a Thermacare heat wrap. Put Thermacare on your back, neck, or shoulder. Get 8 hours of deep-down powerful heat. So tight muscles relax and you feel relief. Get Thermacare in the pain reliever aisle. Then head back outside, because the snowplow just left you a present.
Does your accounting firm really know you, your business, and your goals?
At Earhart Keith Steiner & Hotman, we spend time with you to learn about your business and your goals. As Denver's largest locally owned accounting firm, EKS&H has been serving companies for over 25 years. The roots of the success of EKS&H are built on a corporate culture where service is our priority. If you're looking for an accounting firm that is progressive and will really spend time with you, there's only one name that should come to mind, EKS&H. At Earhart, Keith, Steiner, and Hotman, we'll support you with integrity to help your business flourish. Call us at 303-740-9400. That's 303-740-9400. Or visit us on the web at EKSH.com. EKS&H. Certified Public Accountants and Advisors. Trust that is earned.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. With the resources of NBC, CNN, News 4, and AP, along with local reporters on the ground.
I need it. It's there.
Stay in touch with what's happening in Denver and the Front Range with Dick Kelsey Mornings and Tim McLaughlin Afternoons, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1226 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We'll be joined in the 2 o'clock hour by Bob Dinnerstein, who is the film critic for the Rocky Mountain News. He's seen The Passion of Christ, and so we've got a lot to talk to him about. There is so much going on. I'm going to make it a potpourri today because there's so many things that I'm not going to be able to get to. If I don't. So we're talking about, in the face of the constitutional ban on gay marriage, the Rocky Mountain Progressive Network sending a pledge along to all those legislators who support it, asking them if they'll sign a fidelity pledge. What do you think? And Governor Owens, number one legislator in the state of Colorado, 303-382-1150. There's never been a statement in the breakup of that marriage or, quote, trial separation of that marriage, whether anybody else was involved. Never been a public statement about it. What do you think? 303-382-1150. Mike, Anacel, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I think that the legislators should be required to sign that kind of an agreement. And there are a lot of rumors about Governor Owens, and you're right, nothing has been put in the press. The second thing that I really wanted to ask is, can you give me a good definition of the difference between a civil union and a marriage?
I don't think that there really is a great amount. I'd like to hear from an attorney, Mike, but what emerged yesterday from our 3-hour conversation on the subject, and it was very enlightening to me. What finally emerged
was that you really miss a lot around here.
But
yes,
what really emerged is that a lot of people were against the idea of gay marriage, but they were for the idea of civil union. And when the question was put to people, what if they're actually exactly the same, except that the title is different, the name is different? We call one civil union and we call the other marriage. People said they had no problem with it. It's when you call it marriage that people really got bent out of shape over it.
Is it a difference because a marriage would be recognized from state to state? Is that a significant legal?
No,
difference?
I think it's a for purposes of the discussion, the hypothesis was that there was no difference whatever between a civil union and a marriage, and how would people feel who were against the idea of gay marriage, but they were in favor of domestic partnership or a civil union. So for purposes of the discussion, all things being equal, it was simply the use of the term marriage that people seem to use to categorize a kind of sacred territory, a sacred and idealistic territory that we all sort of carry around inside of ourselves, having to do with happily ever after, which is a big joke because about half of marriages end in divorce.
Yes. Okay, if there is an attorney listening, I would like to know, I'm sure a lot of people would. I certainly support the civil union, and I think I support the marriage if I knew if there was a legal difference.
Okay, Mike, that's an excellent question. Thanks for asking at 303-382-1150. Kevin, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I'm not an attorney, but I play one on TV.
You're not an attorney, but you probably slept with one.
No, I haven't. Not that I remember.
Okay.
Anyway, so the difference between, interesting that you're talking about this difference between a civil union and a marriage.
Yes.
And I don't see any technical difference. I mean, there seems to be a semantic difference, but I think
that's all it is. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I'm not an attorney, and there may be other differences, but I think for a lot of the population, it is a semantic issue.
But my point is that the marriage, I think the semantic issue is that marriage somehow has a connotation of some sort of religious sanction, and there absolutely should not be any religious element provided for in our Constitution. So it seems to me that this thing on its face is completely impossible to amend the Constitution to prevent something.
It's not going to happen. It's just that this is Bush's way of consolidating his base, and in consolidating his base, dividing a lot of the rest of the country. That's what's going on. Now, he talked about himself as a uniter, not a divider, and all he wants to do is unite his chances for being reelected. That is what his thing is all about.
Well, no, I agree, and I don't think it has a chance of succeeding either, but it just illustrates the simple-mindedness of this administration to propose something that is on its face impossible and ridiculous.
I agree with you, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. George on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, George.
Hello.
Hi, George.
How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. Well, I don't do that type of law. I'm mainly a criminal defense lawyer in federal court, and I do medical malpractice.
Okay.
But as it relates to there is a legal difference in it. Under the federal laws, a civil union isn't recognized for purposes of Social Security, pension, and so forth. So, you know, from state to state, they may have recognition, but federally, it's as if it doesn't exist.
If you're involved in a domestic partnership or a civil union and your partner dies, you don't get that person's Social Security benefits as a widow might when her husband dies?
Oh, that's what I understand.
Okay.
Okay, even though I'm an attorney, that's the way I understand it to be. Matter of fact, I could say definitely they don't get the Social Security benefits. And I presume if they're federal employees, whatever pension benefits that a wife would receive in a civil union, I don't think those are received by the partner.
Okay.
Okay.
Are there other distinctions between a civil union and a marriage?
They're spelled differently.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure because, like you said, half of the marriages end in divorce. Actually, all of my marriages end in divorce, so what could I say about it?
What did you learn from that tough lesson? Did you learn never to get...
I stayed married the first time, but when it gave me a lot. Anyway, but as it relates, this is another BS issue in which, you know, it's like burning the flag or having a prayer at school. People can say prayer at school all they want to themselves. But, you know, burning a flag, it means absolutely nothing. But the main thing are, you know, our troops are being killed every day in a place that we don't belong. And I'm not talking about Afghanistan. I'm talking about Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing nothing towards the Israeli-Palestinian crisis, which is going to follow us. But for as long as we do nothing, that's the main problem. Why do you think those buildings were destroyed and the Pentagon was attacked? It's because of the Israeli-Palestinian. The way we're looked at in the Arab world is that they use American guns, American helicopters, American jets, and this is the only way they can fight back. It's horrible, you know, because I lost some friends in New York City. But as long as our government does nothing to resolve that problem, I know, you know, if it can be solved, people are going to have these problems.
George, I thank you for the information and for the call. I hope you'll call us again.
Okay, thanks.
And keep yourself clean from alimony.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. 303-382-1150. Another George in Lafayette. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes. Good afternoon, Enid.
Good afternoon, George.
I would just like to make a brief comment that the proposed constitutional amendment, as is currently worded, basically forbids civil unions.
How does it forbid civil unions?
Well, basically none of the appurtenances of marriage can be will be allowed. for any other agreement.
I'm missing your point, George.
Yeah, that if there filed there are there seem to be a split between three groups, ones who don't want any civil unions or marriages between people of the same sex. The people who are perfectly agreeable to have marriages between people of the same sex, and people who bridle at marriage, but are perfectly willing to accept civil unions.
Okay, so you're saying what then?
That if this amendment is passed, then the civil unions will become essentially illegal.
Well, first of all, the amendment's not going to be passed. I still
well, that,
don't.
That may be quite true.
I still don't quite get your reasoning, but let's. What if we did this? What if we do with this issue the way we have done with religion? We don't specify what religion you have to be. We let you decide yourself. So if you want to make an arrangement, whatever your arrangement is, and it's consenting adults, God bless you. You can do whatever you want to do so long as you don't, create mayhem and you're not violating a lot of laws. Why don't we call all unions, instead of calling them marriage, why don't we call everything domestic partners or civil unions?
That might perfect. Well,
I think we should call them uncivil unions because many half of them fail anyway. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't have the text of the amendment as proposed by Representative Musgrave in front of me. But when I heard it several times, and each time I came away with the impression that it specifically precludes civil unions.
Well, I haven't looked at it, so
well,
you
in
may.
In that case, I think we'll have to.
I'll have to
the paper and see.
I'll have to get it. Yeah, thanks, George. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, right here on AM 1150, KNRC. Doing as always, Full Frontal Talk Radio. 12:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny. 55 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. A veterans representative in the Denver Mayor's Office of Workforce Development wants to recall Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper because of the mayor's stance on gay marriage. Hickenlooper recently spoke out against a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriages. The University of Colorado has appointed Dr. John DiBiagio to the newly created position of Special Assistant to the President and Chancellor. He'll serve as the direct liaison between the Athletic Department and the CU administration. Tracy Baker will have to look for a new job now. Voters in Arapahoe County yesterday voted to recall Baker from his job as county clerk and recorder. Voters were also asked to pick a replacement. Voters chose Republican Nancy Doty. Have you separated from military service and wish you'd never left? Join the Air National Guard. Work part-time and earn retirement benefits. Call 1-800-2GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:37.
Libs love her.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hate her.
Ignorant.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
The Denver Nuggets are making a run towards the NBA playoffs, and it won't be easy. Saturday night, they head to San Antonio to take on the Spurs. KNRC has all the action for you starting at 6 o'clock. Mello, Andre, the Birdman, Nene, and Camby head down to Texas to meet Tim Duncan and the world champs. The Western Conference is heating up. NBA action with the Nuggets and Spurs Saturday night at 6, right here on AM 1150, KNRC.
KNRC. We call it dry talking. Go to our website at knrcradio.com and look for details on how you can get a free KNRC travel coffee mug. That'll help on those morning commutes, and it may stop those stupid hot coffee spill lawsuits. There are few things that are free these days, but you'll find them at knrcradio.com. Go there, sign up, and the dry talking coffee mug will be yours. You can even get unlimited coffee refills in your fabulous new KNRC coffee mug at Sugar Beet Cafe. It's just another way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC News Time is 12:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by James Hardy Siding. Trying to clear two accidents, one eastbound I-70 at I-25, the other an injury accident, Spear and Corona. Watch for some construction work in the center lane, Leetsdale, between 4th and Quebec. Visit Pradera and Parker for homes carefully crafted with durable, low-maintenance James Hardy siding products by D.R. Horton's Continental Series. For more information, call 303-840-5981. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the morning starting at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. It'll be mainly clear and dry for the next couple of days, but it looks like the next storm system will move in for the weekend. With just a few scattered clouds this afternoon, we'll top out close to 57 for the high, 29 for the low tonight, partly cloudy 59 tomorrow, and a breezy 56 on Friday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's 55 degrees under mostly sunny skies. KNRC News Time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
WB2. Tonight on WB2 News at 9. Is your phone bill hundreds, even thousands more than you expected? More and more people are becoming prey to a new kind of thief.
They said that my long distance service had been switched to this new company.
The new con, changing your long distance carrier without your permission.
I've been slammed.
The problem is, it's not illegal, and you're still responsible for the bill. But there is good news. We'll tell you one simple thing you can do to make sure this never happens to you. Tonight on WB2 News at 9.
This is
WB2 Morning News.
Fresh local news whenever you wake up.
Just choose the time that works for you.
The most local news in the morning and weather and traffic on the twos.
It's a great way to start your day.
You should join us.
Make the most of your time in the morning. WB2 Morning News with Tom Green and Natalie Tisdall.
This is one show you don't want to miss.
Weekday mornings from 5:30 to 9. Because your time counts.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher at this hour. The Dow's up 31 points. The Nasdaq's up 13. Some disappointment today over a report that sales of existing homes fell in January, but that was down from near record levels the month before. The National Association of Realtors expects home sales to remain strong throughout the year, helped by low interest rates. Baby boomers will not be happy to hear Alan Greenspan's solution to escalating budget deficits. The Federal Reserve Chairman told a congressional committee today that it makes more sense to cut Social Security benefits for future retirees than it does to raise taxes. Lucent Technologies and Cisco Systems have unveiled a new internet-based method for handling cell phone calls. They say it could reduce your bill. And the nation's second-largest food company is jumping on the low-carb bandwagon. ConAgra Foods, whose brands include Healthy Choice and Chef Boyardee, is launching Life Choice, a new line of frozen meals for low-carb dieters. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
We're in touch, so you be in touch. Call us with your news tips, traffic info, and when the weather's bad, 303-382-1150. Help out your neighbors by letting us know the situation in your area. We're the only locally owned Denver radio station, and we're concerned about Denver, the mountains, and the Front Range. AM 1150, KNRC. To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1243 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And something else we haven't talked about, Rod Page calling the teachers union terrorists. Can you tell me what that's all about? Apparently he apologized after a lot of pressure and a lot of screaming, but this guy has ascended to his position on the basis of a lot of bogus statistics in Texas when he was running education programs there. And to call a group of teachers terrorists, the largest union group of teachers terrorists, certainly means that he doesn't have enough brains to occupy the position that he's in. I would like to talk about that. I'm also outraged, and this is such an amazing story. I've been following it. Democrats are calling for a criminal investigation into alleged financial kickbacks involving U.S. Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell's recently resigned chief of staff. Now, here she is. She's a chief of staff. Her name is Ginny Kontnick. Her job pays in the neighborhood of $142,000 a year or thereabouts. She hires somebody who, when he leaves the employ there, files a complaint that they have inflated his salary so that he kicks back a couple of thousand dollars to the chief of staff, Ginny Kontnick, that the whole deal was, we'll inflate your your I'll inflate your salary, but I want you kicking back a couple of $1,000s to me. That is the allegation that is being made about Ben Neidhorst Campbell, former chief of staff, that she was going through a divorce and she needed some money for reimbursement, and all of it has got the stench of self-dealing about it. So the Democrats are questioning these kinds of consulting fees. Ben Neidhorst Campbell maintains that he didn't know anything about it. And I wonder, how smart is somebody to demand a kickback from an employee who later talks? And if you're gonna put yourself in that kind of jeopardy, are you going to do it for $2,000? And then meanwhile, she's leaving this job allegedly to pursue other opportunities. But she said at one point that she needed that $2,000 because she was going through a divorce, or it was alleged that she said she needed the money because she was going through a divorce. So if the $2,000 was so important to her, how does she walk away from $140,000 odd? Anyway, what are your thoughts about this? For being a chief of staff, her explanation for what this $2,000 was all about sounded pretty lame to me. So the Democrats are calling for a criminal investigation into alleged financial kickbacks involving U.S. Senator Ben Neidhorst Campbell's recently resigned chief of staff. In a weekend story, the Post quoted Brian Thompson, a former aide in Campbell's state office, saying that in 2002, Continent gave him an inflated bonus and then asked him to give her $2,000 in return as a kickback. The story quoted Thompson, Continent's assistant, as saying Continent proposed the unusual bonus and reimbursement so she could pay a divorce attorney. She told the Post that she did not profit from the unusual transfer, which she said was to cover her legitimate out-of-pocket job-related expenses. Well, if that was the case, why didn't she just put in for it in an expense statement? I mean, I don't get this. 303-382-1150. What does this say about her? Are the Democrats just playing this as politics? Will this weaken Ben Neidhorst Campbell in any way? He has distanced himself. He said he didn't know anything about it. Do you believe him? I tend to believe him because I can't imagine that he would want to sanction anything like this for his chief of staff to have $2,000 extra in her pocket and to put him under a lot of unfavorable scrutiny. And for her to do this for $2,000, to put her to jeopardize herself this way, shows us that she's got an IQ hovering somewhere at room temperature. If that, 303-382-1150, I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. Charlie, calling from Thornton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Charlie.
I've got an idea on what Bush is up to. I'm thinking he's found a weapon of mass distraction.
Oh.
He couldn't find the destruction, so now he's trying to find a way to divert attention.
I think you're right.
But I think one more thing about our current administration. Dick Cheney is a better ventriloquist than Edgar Bergen, because when George W. talks, you can't hardly see Dick's lips move at all.
You want to know something? When Dick talks, you don't see his lips move either.
That's true.
So I thank you for the weapon of mass distraction.
You have a fine day.
You too, Charlie. 303-382-1150. John on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. This is John. You had a caller call in a little while ago about benefits at the Social Security and federal level.
Yes, that if you are domestic partners, we had an attorney calling in. This is not his area, but that was what his understanding was.
That's correct, because I'm currently going through that now. I called you a few weeks ago because my partner died last month, and he was a government employee. And the way that trying to get his 401k and his other things, that financial things that come to him, I have to go through hoops that spouse doesn't go through. Spouse, that magic word spouse is, carries a lot of weight. And no, I'm not eligible for any of his benefits.
What if he, in his will, can he leave you some of these benefits?
No, he can. He left me everything that was his, but the government is very explicit on that. It says that a spouse can take half of his retirement and his Social Security. She can tap into that. His is much better than mine, and I can't tap into it. But no, nothing in a will. Your will can't do it. It's a federal law. You can't get around it. And the only way that it can be gotten around is if gays and lesbians can get civil unions with all the benefits of marriage. Another man called in and said that...
All right, let me see if I've got this right. If you were a spouse, you could tap into the 401k, you could tap into the Social Security benefits or the retirement benefits. But as a domestic partner, you cannot. Could a child have tapped into it?
If my partner had a child, yes, he could have gotten the child could have gotten into that.
But you could not, you cannot, and there's no way around it.
No, not until we get the right to the marriage right.
Okay.
And then the other one called in about the marriage amendment, and he was right too, because there is a section, I don't remember the exact wording, that says no states will be allowed to give same-sex partners, or actually I think it's broader than that, and it goes to any two people that get together and don't want to get married but want to get a civil union. They're not allowed to get any benefits within the state. So that man was right, too.
So if you come together and you are getting domestic, you're signing up for domestic partnerships, you give up the rights to what?
If you can get a domestic partnership, if you can get a civil union, you get all the rights. You get everything. But according to Marilyn Musgrave, she doesn't want to give us anything. I think the real issue is the money issue, because the pie is only so big. And you heard Greenspan this morning on the radio saying they're going to cut Social Security benefits to take care of the deficits. If we get access to that pie, figure 10 million gays in the United States, half of them stop paying into the can tap into the Social Security, stop paying into health plans. Just think of what that's going to do to all of the married people, how much they're going to have to start paying. So it really is an issue of money and power.
So you're saying that Marilyn Musgrave in that legislation, what are they doing? Denying what?
Besides denying gays and lesbians the right to marry.
Right.
Inside that legislation is a denial for any benefits whatsoever that civil unions could grant. So civil unions...
Assuming that a civil union is allowed to go forward, they're going to try and stiff you every way they can in terms of any kind of benefit.
Right, absolutely.
All right, I follow that. Well, this is pretty grisly. Keep us informed, John. Are you going to be able to do anything about the 401k?
Yeah, the 401k, I have to take it as a lump sum, and I have to pay a huge amount of taxes on it. But because it has a beneficiary paper with it, so that I will get that. A spouse would not have to pay the taxes up front. She could just roll it into her own 401k.
But they're not going to let you do that.
No. Uh-uh.
So they're going to penalize you in that way. And his pension benefits, what was it, Social Security or federal pension benefits?
Federal pension benefits ceased the minute he died. I get nothing in that.
If you had been his spouse, what would you have received?
One half of his benefits the rest of my life.
What would that amount to? How much is that? One half per month? One half? How do they dole it out?
It would be about $15,000 to $18,000 a year.
$15,000 to $18,000 a year for life, and
yeah.
That ceases the moment
right.
He dies. You don't get any of it.
Right, and he got much better Social Security benefits than I did. He gets about three times the amount of money in Social Security. Now, if I was a spouse, I could access his rather than mine. Can't do that either.
So none of that is available to you either.
Right. So you can see from just from my one experience how important it is for them to stop gays and lesbians from getting married. It's going to be very, very costly if we can do that.
John, I really thank you for the call. Keep us posted.
I will.
And I appreciate the information. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Or Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm tired. I'm stressed. I want to be pampered, and I don't want to have to go to some expensive spa to do it.
That whining woman you just heard is Evelinda Ehrman, and I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live. In order to shut Evelinda up, I bought her a gift certificate to Salon Mercedes, a full-service salon near the Denver Tech Center, I-25 and Orchard. The staff is so well-trained, experienced, and friendly, they'll even put up with her whining.
Thank you. Oh, goody, goody, goody. Look what I can choose from. A new haircut and color. Waxes. Microdermabrasion. I like this Take Yourself Away package that gives me a manicure, pedicure, massage, and facial.
You need it, honey. Your roots are showing and your nails are chipped.
Nice of you to notice.
Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 and Orchard. Open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7. Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. 303-741-0606. Treat yourself and everyone on your list to a Salon Mercedes gift certificate. 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
Hi, I'm Trish McDermott, VP of Romance from Match.com. At Match.com, we do everything we can to help you succeed in dating. That's why we have so many ways for you to connect, like email, instant messaging, and voice messages, to name a few. Match.com also offers online dating tips and advice, so you always have someone in your corner. That's how we do things at Match.com. We never want you to feel alone. In fact, alone is kind of our natural enemy. Match.com, with over 10 million possibilities.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Denver Lyric Opera Guild is celebrating its 20th year, and you're invited to attend the annual finals competition judged by prominent leaders in the opera world. The Denver Lyric Opera Guild has awarded over $500,000 in scholarships to aspiring young Colorado singers. The final competition is free and open to the public on March 20th, 7 p.m. at Hamilton Hall in the University of Denver Newman Center. Join the Denver Lyric Opera Guild and hear some of the finest young singers in Colorado.
Money for college plus skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Check it out online at goang.com. That's goang.com.
Talk to Lionel.
Federal officials said they favor premarital education programs that focus on high school students. Now let's get down to brass tacks. Question number one. Do you want the federal government teaching, promoting marriage? No. The worst thing to do to promote anything is the government. The government. It's terrible.
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNRC. You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:56 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until my cough ceases, 3 o'clock, whenever. And then I won't be yours until probably around Monday, because I have to go to Washington, D.C., and if I'm lucky and get to be credentialed for the Academy Awards, which is increasingly looking like a long shot, I'll be coming to you live from Los Angeles on Monday. So we'll see how this all shakes down. 303-382-1150. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about what it would cost if gay marriage would be allowed to kick in, that there really is a financial cost to it, that if you are married, you get your spouse's Social Security, and if you're a civil union, you don't. So there is that difference, other than the semantic difference. The Rocky Mountain Progressive Network is asking those legislators who support the constitutional ban on gay marriage to support a fidelity pledge that they will be always monogamous and forever, starting with Governor Owens. But everybody's blowing this guy off, so we'll see what happens there. And then we have Ben Nighthorse Campbell's former chief of staff, Ginny Kotnick, accused of accepting a $2,000 kickback by inflating an assistant's salary so that he could kick back the money to her. How sleazy is that? You want to comment on how dumb that is and how sleazy it is, and dumb and sleazy is a lethal combination? 303-382-1150. Jeff, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Enid. I have a question and a comment. My comment is that I think the main charge of any government is simply to protect its people, protect it from harm's way, protect its civil liberties, its freedoms, and I think we can cite numerous examples where our government has failed to do that. The war on drugs, perhaps, 9/11. So what I'm wondering is, when these legislatures and the president talk about protecting marriage, what exactly are they protecting, and why do we Americans think that by legislating more they're actually going to be successful in protecting marriage?
Well, it's the whole idea of legislating morality. You can't do it. And you can't legislate the success of marriages, and you can't shore up an institution that apparently is failing. If you look at the statistics, 50% of marriages end in divorce. I don't think it can be done. They're trying, just like they're trying to get you to be patriotic by saying the pledge. 303-382-1150. Don, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I'm looking forward to gay marriage. I'm hoping that it gets passed and that they get all the obligations and all the rights that straight people have when they get married, such as giving half your assets up to your spouse when they divorce you, half your 401k when they divorce you, people who are predatory that go after you because you have money to marry you. I think they should suffer the same consequences we suffer.
The same opportunity for heartbreak and penury as straights do?
Absolutely. I think they should also pay such things as alimony. I think they should also face the prospect of cohabitation suddenly being interpreted as, hey, you guys have been married. You've been living together for 6 months.
Well, Joe Anderson, my producer, says divorce lawyers need clients too.
Yeah, I think it's great. And
they got to eat.
What's going to happen is a lot of the gay people are going to say, oh, wow, we didn't expect this to happen.
We got to leave it there, Don. We're out of time in this hour. Great idea, though. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Two more hours of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150. Bob Dinnerstein, The Passion of Christ in the 2 o'clock hour.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 56 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. The University of Colorado has appointed Dr. John DiBiagio to the newly created position of Special Assistant to the President and Chancellor. He'll serve as the direct liaison between the Athletic Department and the CU Administration. CU President Elizabeth Hoffman says DiBiagio's emerged as an early leader for the position.
The reason John DiBiagio emerged in our minds as the top candidate is because of his experience both in academic administration and as a national international leader in athletic reform.
In his new position, DiBiagio will serve as a resource for the independent investigative panel that's looking into whether sex and alcohol have been used by the school to recruit football players. DiBiagio has served as president of Tufts, Michigan State, and Connecticut, and was a member of the Knight Foundation Blue Ribbon Commission on Intercollegiate Athletics. That commission's goal was to make recommendations to stop abuses in major college sports. One half of a modern-day Bonnie and Clyde has reached a plea agreement with authorities. 28-year-old Nova Guthrie had pleaded innocent to charges that she was involved in a 1997 robbery in Durango. Guthrie will change her plea to guilty now to resolve the 1997 case, as well as others pending in New Mexico, Texas, Oregon, Montana, and Washington. Guthrie's boyfriend, 41-year-old Craig Pritchard, is currently in jail in Phoenix awaiting trial on related charges. The pair are accused of traveling the world with money they stole from banks. They were eventually captured in Cape Town, South Africa, where they were living under aliases. Lawyers for NBA star Kobe Bryant will be trying to explain to a judge next week why they should be allowed to use the accuser's sexual history in court. Colorado State District Judge Terry Ruckrigal says the lawyers will have to prove the information would be relevant to the case. Bryant's defense says the accuser had sex with two other men within days of the alleged sexual assault by Bryant. That hearing will take place behind closed doors next week. President Bush says cuts to the Social Security benefits should be off limits to those closing in on retirement. Testifying in Congress today, Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan warned that booming deficits and the pending surge of baby boomer retirees might require future cuts in Social Security and Medicare benefits.
The dimension of the challenge is enormous, but history has shown that when faced with major challenges, elected officials have risen to the occasion.
Asked about that, President Bush said he has not had a chance to study Greenspan's remarks.
My position on Social Security benefits is this, that those benefits should not be changed for people at or near retirement.
Bush made the comments after a White House meeting with the President of Georgia, a former Soviet republic. Senator John Kerry has three more wins on his slate just in time for Super Tuesday's contest next week. Hawaii, Idaho, and Utah voters all chose Kerry. More than 1,000 nomination convention delegates are at stake this coming Tuesday in 10 state primaries. Among them are key states like California and New York. After 45 minutes of testimony from its only witness, the defense has rested in the Martha Stewart stock fraud trial in New York City. Reporter Scott Salato has the details.
There was no obvious reaction from the jury as the defense rested after presenting only one witness. The attorney who took the stand testified about notes he took when Stewart was questioned by federal investigators, but under cross-examination, he admitted he could not be certain of their accuracy. They involved the message from Martha's broker she is accused of changing. The jury has several days off now, closing arguments set for Monday. Scott Salato, New York.
A new report showing that minority high schoolers have lower graduation rates may be misleading. The report from the Civil Rights Project at Harvard and the Urban Institute says minority high schoolers have a 50% graduation rate. Harvard professor Christopher Edley says the No Child Left Behind Act does not have rules for reporting minority groups' graduation rates. The family of a Los Angeles man shot to death on live TV is questioning the use of force. The LA Times says that Monday, 23-year-old Nicholas Killinger allegedly robbed a gas station. As the chase wound down, Killinger started moving his car in reverse toward officers. While TV cameras rolled, police opened fire and mortally wounded the young man. The LA Lakers come to town tonight to take on the Denver Nuggets. In January, Lakers beat the Nuggets. College basketball action tonight has the CU Buffs welcoming the Oklahoma Sooners. Colorado Avalanche have the night off tonight. They'll be back to work tomorrow at the Pepsi Center against the St. Louis Blues. Have you separated from military service and wish you'd never left? Join the Air National Guard, work part-time, and earn retirement benefits. Call 1-800-2GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
From Estes Park to Colorado Springs, from Golden to Aurora, hear Denver's most entertaining talk personalities exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by D.R. Horton Melody Series. And one accident, 58th and Broadway. We need to try and clear out of the way. Watch for delays. Everything else is construction related. Got some paving operations on Hampton. Going to be eastbound from University to Colorado. Also watch for some on the Platte River Drive from Alameda to Mississippi. To Leedsdale between 4th and Quebec. D.R. Horton, America's Builder, Melody Series, owned for under $1,000 a month. No down, no closing cost programs available. Visit MelodyLiving.com or call us at 1-866-MELODY-H. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear the Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly weekday mornings at 10 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. For the next several days, our temperatures are going to continue to run above seasonal norms, but a storm system on the weekend threatens to bring another little mix of rain and snow. With mostly sunny skies, we'll top out around 57 for the high today, 29 for the low tonight, 59 tomorrow, and a breezy 56 on Friday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 56 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And then I won't be yours for a couple of days, but T.R. Reid will be taking over. He heads the Rocky Mountain Bureau for the Washington Post. And he'll be in on Thursday and Friday. I'll be in Washington, D.C., hoping to get to the Academy Awards, but that may not be possible because it's I waited too long. But we'll see. It's still a possibility. I'll keep you posted. In the meantime, we're going to be giving away tickets for the only Academy Award-sanctioned Oscar party in Denver. Party with Oscar. This is Denver's only Academy-sanctioned party with Oscar. And there's a little R with a circle around it, so I guess it's a registered trademark. Presented by God Helps Jewelry, a jeweler, and benefiting the Denver Film Society. It's going to happen this coming Sunday, Feb 29, at Rise Nightclub, 1909 Blake Street in Denver. So you have to be able to go. We're going to give away how many pairs of tickets are we giving away? How many are we giving away? We're trying to figure that out. It's an evening of cocktails, Mediterranean cuisine, a much-anticipated silent auction, and watching the 2004 Oscars live from Hollywood. Get your picture taken with an authentic Oscar statuette, and you get to cast a ballot in the Predict the Winner contest. All the proceeds go to the Denver Film Society. It's a nonprofit cultural organization that brings quality film and film education programs to Colorado. It wouldn't otherwise be available in this market. The prize value of these two tickets, $200. So we're giving two pairs of tickets away, not just one pair. But a pair is apparently worth $200. Your names are going to be placed on the guest list, and you have to bring ID. That's really important here. So this is going to happen Sunday night, and it's going to... it doesn't give us a time, though. What is the time on this? We don't know. Do we know what time you have to go? I imagine it'll be on the tickets somewhere. Well, we better find out. What is the time? What time do you have to be there? Because the Oscars start fairly early, don't they? We'll give you some information. We'll get the time as we proceed here so that when we give away these tickets, we'll know exactly what time. It should have been on the sheet, and it's not on the sheet, so not my fault. Here's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the constitutional ban on gay marriage, and the Progressive Network, the Rocky Mountain Progressive Network, is asking all those legislators who are supporting it to sign a pledge of helping marriage by signing a pledge of fidelity. Don't you think that's pretty ingenious? I think that's really good. We're also considering this whole kickback scheme, alleged kickback scheme, in the Ben Nighthorse Campbell office involving his former chief of staff who was going through a messy divorce. Her name is Ginny Kontnick. I guess she's been with him for a long time. According to both the Post and the Rocky, her former aide told the Post that the transition, that the what she did was to inflate his salary and then get a $2,000 kickback from him, alleged kickback. She says the money was not for her own profit, but to reimburse her for Senate political expenses. So why didn't she just put in for it? So it kind of has a bad odor about it. The whole thing has a really bad odor about it, and it's a pretty dumb explanation, if you ask me. Sounds like she's in some trouble, and the Democrats want an investigation, a federal inquiry. Nighthorse Campbell says that he doesn't know anything about it, that he was out of that loop, or that's what he's maintaining. And so the question is, will this hurt him in any way in his reelection? Probably not, I think, but you may want to comment. 303-382-1150. There is a new poll out that says that Denver workers are unhappy. The city ranks high in stress factors. Worker morale is low in the Mile High City. Nearly 17% of Denver workers are unhappy with their jobs, the highest percentage among 22 major U.S. cities. This is according to the results of an online survey just released. The national average is 11%. Being unhappy. But Denver, we are in the stratosphere. We are unhappy. We're massively unhappy at 17%. Remember we were trying to figure out a good slogan for the city of Denver, branding the city of Denver? You want to throw that one into the equation? Well, what do you think about that? Do you have any observations that you would like to make about why workers are unhappy, 17% of them? 54.5% of employees claim to work more than 8 hours a day, which places Denver second among cities included in the survey. Happiest employees are in Los Angeles. That's number one. Number two, San Francisco. Three, Boston. Four, oddly enough, Kansas City. Five, Houston, where you can't breathe. The least happy employees are in Denver. And then after Denver is Atlanta, and then Dallas and Charlotte, and then Cleveland, and then Philly at 14.3. The most stressed employees are in Detroit. They're number one. Number two, San Francisco, even though it's the number two place for happiest employees, it's the number two place also for stress. Number three for stress is Philly. Four is Dallas and Denver tied. And five is Phoenix. People working more than 8 hours a day. Dallas is number one. Denver is number two. Atlanta, number three. Los Angeles, number four. Orlando, Florida, number five. People working 8 hours or less a day. New York is number one. I'm surprised about that. Boston is number two. Tampa, Florida is number three. Sacramento, California, number four. where they're not getting an hernia from overwork. And Detroit is number five, people working 8 hours or less a day. So Denver workers are the least happy and the most stressed out. I think they should just be happy having a job, to tell you the truth. Jobs are a real issue in Denver. Would you like to comment about this poll? Are you unhappy in your work? 303-382-1150. Okay, we have the information. The Oscar party is at 5:30 p.m. This is the only one in Denver that is sanctioned by the Academy. It starts at 5:30. God Helps Jeweler is going to present it, and it benefits the Denver Film Society. So you be the fourth caller, 303-382-1150, and you'll get a pair of tickets worth $200. This is for this Sunday night. Starts at 5:30. Rise Nightclub, 1909 Blake Street. Denver, you're going to be put on the guest list, and you have to bring an idea. You be the fourth caller right now, 303-382-1150, to the Sunday, February 29 Academy Award Party. You're going to get an evening of cocktails, Mediterranean cuisine. Ooh, I think we have a winner. A much-anticipated silent auction, and you're going to watch the Oscars live, and you get to be a ballot and predict the winner. And all the proceeds go to the Denver Film Society, and we have a winner. I think we have a winner. Fourth caller is our winner. So, and we'll give away one more pair of these tickets later in the broadcast, okay? So you got to hang in there with us. All right, 303-382-1150. Gene, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Gene.
Yes. I've been listening to you for the last couple of days. Well, I've been listening to you for several weeks now, and I really enjoy your program.
Thank you. How'd you find us?
And I don't know. I think I was
surfing.
And I am a liberal Democrat, and I do enjoy your view on most things. Now, I am also an ex-Kansas legislator.
Oh.
And so I've been listening to these issues that are before the folks now. And I get a little unhappy with Dickie Bush, and namely because last night on the television, the news came out that we're going to be paying $2 plus up to $3 for gasoline. So what's Dickie doing? Running down the gaze. Now, why doesn't he pay attention to business and actually help the people instead of...
When are we going to be paying $2 or $3 a gallon for gas? I hope it's not anytime soon.
Well, don't you listen to the news, Enid?
Well, yes, I do, but I didn't see that story. What I'm seeing, the story is that the Saudi fields are in decline, apparently. I've seen that.
Well, they're going to cut back. And last night on the television, they said it could possibly raise the price of gasoline to $2 plus, to $3 on the West Coast, $2 here in Denver, plus in Denver.
It's already about $2 in San Francisco, or it was the last time I was there.
Well, I'll bet it is. And they're going to be paying more if the OPEC do what they said they're going to do. And I think Mr. Bush...
I think we ought to change OPEC, too. Yeah.
In the fact that he's not addressing this problem. All he's done is on this gay contingent.
Well, read the front page of the New York Times. Do you look at the New York Times, Gene? Because what they have said, they've said very succinctly, he's trying to consolidate his base.
Well, I'm not fine.
And this is what energizes the base. He knows it's probably not going to pass. But this gets them going, and this gets them behind him, and they have been kind of a restless base, and now this is a way to get them galvanized.
I think the state legislators are missing their mandate by taking up these social issues. State legislators should be talking about taxes, raising taxes, and how the money is going to be appropriated.
Do you think they want to talk about raising taxes?
Well, they raise taxes. I mean, they pass laws that raise taxes. That's how the government is funded.
Yeah, but they don't want to do that. They want to be seen as tax cutters, not tax raisers. They want to get themselves reelected. A lot of them are careerists. That's what they want to do. They're not interested in what's good for the country. They're interested in what's good for themselves.
That's exactly right. Now, I was a state legislator, and I saw that many times. There's only about a handful of legislators who actually have the people's welfare in mind.
All right, tell us secrets of being a legislator. What were you? What was your title? Can you say?
I was state legislator.
All right,
District 7.
All right, you were a legislator, meaning
I was a member of the House in the state of Kansas.
All right, member of the House. Did they also have a Senate? Some states do. Some states.
Well, yes, they have a Senate too.
Okay, so you were a representative.
I was a state representative.
State representative, and how long did you serve?
I served 4 years, and then I was involved in an accident which I broke my back, so that's why I'm home here talking to you on the telephone. And I was unable to perform my duty, so I resigned.
And you moved to Denver?
And I moved to Denver so I could go to Craig Institute for spinal cord injuries.
Oh, for your rehab. Oh,
for my rehab.
Okay. And they have a wonderful reputation, I understand.
They have a great reputation out there. They're the best. I was in KU Med Center in Kansas City. I guess I can put them down. They won't be listening. And I thought they were poor. And then I came out here, and I went to Spalding for a long time. Then I came over to Craig, and Craig is top of the line. Anybody who has spinal cord injury, get to Craig and get there in a hurry.
So what can you tell us? What are some of the secrets that you can tell us from having served as a legislator, as a representative, a state representative?
But most representatives are afraid, are scared to death of their bases. They pander to the right, and they are afraid to stand up and say what they think or to express their own convictions. One of them is the abortion issue. I think women should have the right to have sovereignty over their own bodies. You go say that in front of a state legislature, and they almost run you out because they're all afraid that if they say that, their base will not vote for them.
Is there an argument to be made that if you have the courage to actually say that, your base will support you in spades?
Well, Enid, I think the answer to that is yes. Now, I was pro-choice, and I am Catholic.
Oh.
And,
did you get a lot of, did you get a lot of pressure from the church?
You betcha. And there was letters that I received that said, you are in mortal danger of being excommunicated. Now, listen, I'm a Catholic, and my family's been Catholic for years and years and years. And I was afraid. And pretty soon I thought to myself, now, wait a minute here. Who am I? Who's electing me, and why are they electing me? I'm not running for pope or cardinal or bishop or any of that stuff. I'm running for state representative whose mandate is to serve the people. And I thought, okay, I'm serving the people. If I get any more of these type of threats, I'm calling the Kansas City Star and the Wichita Eagle, and we'll just run her in the paper. And they wouldn't like that. And so they laid off.
And what happened when you took this stance in your state? Did you get support? Did you get excoriated? Were you reelected? What happened?
Well, one day as I was campaigning around town, my parish priest came up and said, oh, I'm so glad that somebody from our parish is running. And I said, I thought to myself, oh, boy, that guy doesn't know my stance. And I said, yeah, and I'll see you later. And I got away from him. Well, I commenced to get calls, and he said, I want you to come up and tell me what your stand is on these issues. And I always had an excuse for not doing it. And then he called me. He said, the bishop wants to know. And I thought, well, yeah, the bishop wants to know. Good for the bishop. And I still didn't go up there. So finally, he called me, and I said, well, okay, I'll come up. So when I went up to see him, I said, now, am I talking to the parish priest, or am I talking to the head of the pro-life Republican coalition? And he says, well, you're talking to your parish priest. Anything you say here will not be repeated. So I went through it.
And what was the outcome?
And that was on a Friday afternoon, Sunday morning. It all came right back over the altar at me, and I thought, oh, boy, I'm not putting up with this.
So they denounced you from the altar?
Well, he didn't really denounce me personally, but everybody knew who he was talking about. Plus, all the arguments I'd give him in favor of it, he had turned them around and sent them back in his favor. I said, you know, I have the same views on this as Jesus Christ did. When Jesus finished teaching his teachings, he didn't go to the Senate and say, now I want you to pass a bunch of laws that would command these people to keep my commandments. What he did was give the people a choice, and that's what I am doing. I'm giving the people a choice.
Were you reelected, Gene?
I certainly was at 74%.
All right, so people did support you. Your base did support you. But would there be an argument to be made that you might not get reelected, but you have done the right thing for the state? And are there very many legislators that sign on to that particular position?
That they won't be reelected?
That they're going to vote their conscience, and if it happens that they're going to pay the price in alienating the base.
There are several that will do that, and there are several.
But they're
that
not.
Are
it sounds to me like they are.
Shoes.
It sounds like they are not in the majority.
They are not in the majority at all. Not in the state of Kansas, because they're very conservative over there. And it's really a shame because these social issues are social issues, And the Senate and the legislators, they should be talking about your money. That's what we should be doing.
Well, you can't legislate a lot of social issues, is the truth of it.
You can't legislate morals at all.
No, and you can't legislate patriotism either. And you can't legislate the longevity of marriages.
You certainly can't.
Gene, I thank you for calling us. We hope your recuperation continues to proceed in the right direction.
Now, Ina, there's one thing we haven't covered.
Yeah.
This is my first call. Now, don't give me no kiss over the phone.
Oh, my gosh.
No kiss over the phone. I want mine in person.
Well, this will have to do for now.
Okay, it'll do for now. All righty.
Thanks very much for calling. Call us again.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Why listen to Rush when you've got Ina?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150 KNRC.
Dear smokers, my name's Megan, and I'm here to ask you to stop smoking. My daddy used to smoke. He was always promising to quit. He finally did. But then it was too late. He had cancer, and now he's dead. I'm only 10 years old, and I miss my dad. He was my best friend, and now he's gone.
If you're ready to quit smoking, we can help. We're the makers of Smoke Away, a product clinically tested and proven to eliminate your cravings and have you smoke-free in just 7 days. It's all natural and nicotine-free, and best of all, it's guaranteed to work or your money back. Call us today. Thousands have already quit using Smokeaway. Shouldn't you?
Please quit smoking.
Call now for your risk-free trial. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704. Money back if you aren't cigarette-free in just 7 days. Call toll-free. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Horacio Gutierrez joins the Colorado Symphony Orchestra on February 27th, 28th, and 29th to perform Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 1. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
The Colorado Association of Nonprofit Organizations recognizes the valuable people who donate their time to our nonprofits. Celebrate Colorado Nonprofit Week by joining CAMPO at their annual luncheon at the Adams Mark Hotel on Friday, March 5th, as they honor this year's award winners. Sponsor a table for your organization or purchase individual tickets by going to www.campo.org. Support CAMPO on Friday, March 5th, and celebrate the hope that Colorado nonprofits generate throughout the year. You wanted live, local talk on weekends while everyone else is in infomercials or ball games. We got it for you, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Check out our lineup. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Ina Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Ina Goldstein.
1:27 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. We'll be joined in the 2 o'clock hour by Rocky Mountain News film critic Bob Dinnerstein. He has seen The Passion of Christ, and I am very interested in talking to him about it because it's been so controversial a film, and there are many things to be said about it. And since he has seen it and I have not, I'm very eager to hear what he has to say. One of the things that we have done is to try to figure out ways of branding the city of Denver. And here is a story that appeared that Denver workers are unhappy. This according to a poll. It was a national poll, and the worker morale is lowest in the Mile High City. Now, I don't know what kind of a brand you can make out of that. But I was reading Bill Husted's column, and somehow they talked about, they got the slogan of Denver all confused, and somebody called Denver the Queen of the Rockies, but it's the Queen City of the Plains or something. Isn't that the phrase? Queen City of the Plains. Or is that it? Or Queen City's a rock? Well, I don't know. So I'm thinking that it's also the Mile High City. So you could put the two of them together, and you've got a Mile High Queen here. But I don't know. You may have a different point of view. And some of you have been sending me more emails. Denver, more than just layoffs and expensive housing. Denver, better public schools in Mississippi. Denver, bring your own water. That's from Kevin. Kevin, that's good. So if you want to add to our list, how about Denver, choose a lifestyle? You can do that. But I like Mile High Queen. That's another one that we can talk about. If you're just tuning in, the winner, I want to congratulate a winner who won a pair of tickets to the only Academy Award sanctioned party in Denver. It's at Rise Nightclub on Blake Street. Is Brian from Fort Collins. So congratulations, Brian. Those tickets are worth $200, and we're going to give away one more pair of tickets today before the show is over to the only sanctioned Academy sanctioned party, Oscar party in Denver. And it's Sunday night, and it starts at about 5:30, I think, at Rise Nightclub. And you have to bring ID, so be sure you do that because your name's going to be on a list. That's how they're going to do that. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Okay, I want to talk about Rod Page, Education Secretary, talking to a group of teachers, the largest teachers union in America, and calling them terrorists. What do you make of that? Why do you think he did something like that? What is that all about? What can you say about somebody? He administers the Department of Education. The very people that he's supposed to be administering, you know, the very people who are really part of that whole umbrella situation, teachers, the people that you entrust your children to, he's calling them a group of terrorists. He later recanted the phrase. But why would he do something that dumb? How desperate is he? What do you think the chances are of this administration? I think they're on the ropes, and I think instead of a kind of sense of inclusion, you know, here you are, you're the Secretary of Education. You want to work with teachers because that's your bailiwick. Instead, you alienate them. It's an us versus them situation. And when you're supporting a constitutional ban on gay marriage, isn't that the same sort of mentality, an us versus them situation? And when you were looking at conservative, religious, fundamental conservatives, aren't you looking at an us versus them situation? Even though the media has become more conservative, they continue to believe that they are marginalized. They continue to believe that they're out of the loop, even though they dominate everything. They continue to believe there's a liberal media when we all know that there isn't any kind of a liberal media of any consequence. And they have to have something to be angry about to galvanize them. What observations can you make about this mentality? What we know about conservatives from the research is that they don't see shades of gray. They see blacks and whites. That they are more fearful than other people. And here you have a kind of anger component as well. Because it's not that they are for something as much as they are against something, is the sense that I have. They have to be against something to get their blood boiling. Now, those of you who are conservatives and who listen to me, I would love your take on this. And if you are not in favor of gay marriage or civil unions, I particularly want to hear from you, 303-382-1150. And the question I posed yesterday, what is it about Colorado, starting with Amendment 2, where the state wanted to deny certain protections to homosexuals, and then you fast forward to all these sexual scandals. You have the Air Force Academy scandal. You have Kobe Bryant, allegations of rape. You have the CU players, allegations of rape. And now you have a lot of prominent Coloradans, among them Marilyn Musgrave, who's getting a lot of national attention by promoting a ban on gay marriage, a constitutional ban on gay marriage, and you have Senator Wayne Allard stepping up. What does this say about the state of Colorado and sex? Does it paint a picture? It paints some kind of a picture. I'm not certain I know what the picture is that it's painting, but there's no question that it's painting a picture. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. In a huge story that has gone remarkably unnoticed, the CIA has admitted that it did not give weapons data to the United Nations. When Condoleezza Rice And George Tenet spoke to the Americans, and when they addressed all of us, they said that the UN was given all this information in of sites that we called high value and moderate value in terms of the weapons hunt. And in fact, they withheld a lot of information. So we have that going on. We also have the Bush administration saying that it improperly altered a report documenting large racial and ethnic disparities in healthcare, but it will soon publish the full unexplicated document. So here they are. They are spinning stories. And we had a group of Nobel Prize-winning scientists who wrote a letter to President Bush and to the administration talking about how a lot of scientific information was being spun, information was being withheld so that people couldn't get the full impact of what was going on. It turns out that there's a report from London talking about how in the next 15 or 20 years, not only might we not have enough fuel, but there might be such a huge climate shift that we will be going to nuclear war against each other for the scarce resources of water and things like that. 303-382-1150, completely undercutting what George Bush has said and what his glowing scientific reports spin out. The truth doesn't seem to matter to this administration in just about every single way that you can measure it. 303-382-1150. Elizabeth, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, I have an interesting question. I was actually talking to somebody, one of the newspapers this morning. This thing that they're trying to do, that Muskrat's trying to do. I'm sorry, did I?
Is she doing the Muskrat ramble?
Shame on me for saying that on the radio.
Mm.
This thing she's trying to do, she's calling it a same-sex marriage ban. What about people who have changed their sex?
Well, I have asked that question. What if they start out as a boy and they're now a girl and vice versa?
Here's the part where it gets really interesting, because I actually know the answer to some of these questions. Some of them are rhetorical on my part. Some states recognize change of sex for purposes of marriage. Some states recognize legal change of sex. Some states do not. There was a case not very long ago in Nebraska where a person who was born male, had complete sex change, plumbing and all, married a man who was, I believe, a widower. He had children from his first marriage. He died. He died intestate. The state law...
Which means that his testicles were on, but he had no will.
He had no will.
That's what the origin of the term testify, by the way.
I know, I know.
I'll tell the audience, because in the olden times, I think Greek and Roman times, if you were going to testify to something, you had to put your hands over your testicles, and that meant that you were telling the truth.
Right, yes, I love that. But he had no will when he died. Let's do it that way so you don't giggle again.
Okay.
And so the state laws kicked in that would award his widow a whole bunch of stuff.
And she got it, and the kids are suing her because she wasn't a widow. She's not a girl.
Yes, this kid screamed bloody murder. It got dragged into a huge court case. The ultimate resolution of that case was that Nebraska does not recognize change of sex for purposes of law. They voided the marriage, and all the stuff went to the kids. Now, there was another case down in Florida last year, and if you were actually following, if you're a court junkie like I kind of am, you were following this. This was a case where it was a female who transitioned and became a man, married a woman. They adopted some children. The marriage went south. He petitioned for divorce. She petitioned for annulment, saying that because her partner was female, there was never a legal marriage. In Florida, no less, the judge did not go for this. He said, you knew when you married him what you were getting into. You knew that your partner was female when you married. No, you will get a divorce. And by the way, he got the kids.
Oh, Elizabeth, this is so juicy.
But this is the question. Now, the state of Colorado, I think, recognizes a change of sex for purposes of marriage. Not all states do, though. So, if you have a state that does not recognize change of sex for purposes of marriage, the state may not tell you, if unless you are under sentence for some crime and imprisoned, I think they can tell you this then, or if you are of subnormal intelligence or trying to marry someone too close akin to you. Other than that, the state may not say to you, you may not marry anyone. So, one of two things is going to happen. In cases where the state does not recognize change of sex for purposes of marriage, they will be forced to issue marriage licenses that have two female or two male names on them, two masculine or two feminine names. In states where they do recognize change of sex for purposes of marriage, they will be issuing marriage licenses to people with one masculine and one feminine name who are either both male or both female.
This is very confusing to me. So your ultimate point is?
She hasn't even considered this. This is a ball of snakes.
Oh, you know, but it's never going to go anywhere. She's just getting a lot of press. They're consolidating the base, and it's never going to be a constitutional amendment. And she's made her career on the backs of gays. That's what she's done.
I realize that.
And you can call that the muskrat ramble.
I realize that, but it's just they think they are being so absolutist in this. And this is just...
But all they're doing is kicking in the law of unintended consequences and making a greater hash of marriage than heteros have already done.
In this case, it is definitely a bigger hash, because what are you going to do? If, as some of the statistics I've read are true, as many as 1% of the population of this country is in some way, some form or fashion transgendered, plus their partners... You're talking about 600,000 people.
Elizabeth, we're going to have to leave it there. I thank you for the information. This is juicy stuff. And call us again, 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. CU President Betsy Hoffman says that Dr. John DiBiagio is a national and international leader in athletic reform. DiBiagio has been named to the newly created post of Special Assistant to the President and Chancellor at CU. He'll act as the liaison between the administration and the athletic department. At least one Denver resident wants Mayor John Hickenlooper out of office. Joel Levitt, a veterans representative in the Denver Mayor's Office of Workforce Development, says he plans to collect signatures for Hickenlooper's recall. Levitt is upset with remarks Hickenlooper made recently in opposition to a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. As soon as the election results are certified, Arapahoe County will have a new county clerk and recorder. Voters yesterday recalled Tracy Baker and selected Republican Nancy Doty to fill that spot. Doty could be in her new position by the end of the week. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Call 1-800-2GO-ANG. That's 1-800-T-O-G-O-A-N-G. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:41.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
I have a family. Then there's my job. 50, 60, sometimes 70 hours a week. My dog likes walks, friends like to get together, I'm forgetting something. Oh, right, sleep. Gotta find time to do that at least once a week.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "Do not squander time, for that is the stuff life is made of." The wealth management experts at First National Bank of Colorado know that your life is full. That's why we offer advisors who can help high net worth individuals manage their assets and have time left over to enjoy their lives.
It's such a relief to have a wealth management expert who can help me plan for the future.
For everything from asset management to investment services and more, the wealth management advisors at FNBC take the time to get to know you and understand your financial goals.
Now I get to spend more time with my family and friends. I get to walk an extra lap with the dog. And every now and then, I even get some sleep.
To secure your future, turn to the wealth management experts at First National Bank of Colorado. Call 303-308-3860.
KNRC News Time is 1:42. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by James Hardy Building. Trying to clean up a couple accidents. Havana, just north of I-70. Sounds like a bunch of cars involved in an accident there. Watch for that. 58th and Broadway, another accident in the cleanup stages. And we do have some paving operations. Eastbound Hampton from University of Colorado. Also, we have some problems due to paving on Platte River Drive from Alameda until Mississippi. Visit Pradera and Parker for homes carefully crafted with durable, low-maintenance James Hardy siding products by D.R. Horton's Continental Series. For more information, call 303-840-5981. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey's in the morning starting at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. It looks like the next winter storm hits us by the weekend, but it's nice and quiet till then. With mostly sunny skies, we'll top out close to 57 for the high today, fair and 29 tonight, a mix of sun and clouds, 59 for the high tomorrow, partly cloudy, breezy, 56 on Friday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Sunny skies, 58 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Do you know the story? It's about a war, the very worst kind. It ripped apart our country, set American against American, North against South, free against slave. Now John Brown's body, the newest production at the Denver Center Theater Company, brings to life the story of the Civil War. You meet Lincoln and Davis. You hear from Southern belles and Northern ladies. You sit across from slave traders as well as freedom fighters. You see the world through the eyes of a Yankee soldier and his Confederate counterpart. John Brown's body transports you to the most troubled chapter in our country's history and gives voice to the human experience behind the facts and dates. John Brown's Body plays January 29th through February 28th at the Denver Center Theater Company. Do you know the story? The whole story?
Visit denvercenter.org or call 303-893-4100 today for your tickets.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher today as investors take advantage of lower prices after 5 days of selling. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 40 points. The Nasdaq is up just about 16 and a quarter. President Bush says he does not want to cut Social Security benefits for people who retire soon. Federal Reserve Chief Alan Greenspan had today urged Congress to consider cutting benefits for future retirees, for instance, those who retire in 20 years or so, in order to reduce the budget deficit. The National Association of Realtors reports that existing home sales fell sharply in January from December, but there was better news about mortgages as more Americans filed requests for home loans last week, even as interest rates on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage rose slightly. Lawyers have finished making their case for Martha Stewart and for her former stockbroker. The defense rested today after Stewart's lawyers called just one witness on her behalf. The jury could start deliberating as soon as Monday. With the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 40 and the Nasdaq up 16, Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio.
Listen next Thursday and Friday as Doug Kellett broadcasts live from Washington, D.C. each afternoon. He'll have special guests during these special shows. We don't wait for the newsmakers to come to us. We go to them. Hear both sides talk live from D.C. Thursday and Friday, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:46 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock in the next hour. We're going to be joined by Bob Dinnerstein, who is the film critic for the Rocky Mountain News. He has already seen Passion of Christ. And I am very eager to talk to him about it and what his view of it was. And we'll be talking films as we're coming up to the Oscars on Sunday night. I'm desperately emailing here between breaks, sending in all the information that the credentialing closed about 5 years ago. So this is all very ad hoc. I did buy a dress, though. In the annals of thinking positively, I did buy a dress for the Oscars. Oh, I'll wear it to work and everybody can laugh at me. 303-382-1150. I've been before, and I should bring in my piece on the Oscars because it starts out at Nudie's, which was then a well-known Western wear place. And when I asked the price of these really spectacular boots, Western boots, the guy wouldn't answer my question. He said, well, what kind of a car do you drive? And he wouldn't tell me the price unless I told him what kind of a car, because judging by whatever kind of a car I drove, he was going to judge as to whether I could afford those boots or not. And that's how the story begins. And, you know, I was staying at the Beverly Wilshire, and I said I wanted to be in the old wing. And he said, we don't call it the original wing. I said, well, the old wing. He said, we're not allowed to call it the old wing. We can only call it the original wing. So that gives you an idea of Los Angeles and all its glory. And we were off and running from there. But I'm telling you, it is really a glorious evening. It's lots of fun. And it gets started early. because they're broadcasting for the East Coast, and there's a three-hour time difference. So you've got to get all gussied up in formal clothes, and I'm talking about the event starting at something like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So everybody's been at the stylist and the hairdresser and the manicurist and your gowns, and it's like noon. And it's really an amazing sight, to tell you the truth, and nobody looks the way they do in the movies. You see the classic stereotypes of the gorgeous showgirls with these guys who are 3 feet tall and 3 feet wide with their hands on the girls' fannies. In fact, they hardly come up to the girls' fannies. You see big stars who say the most elegant things in the movies, but if nobody's scripting anything for them to say, it doesn't come out quite the same way in the press interviews. And the dumb questions from the press, probably me included, were enough to... Enough to really, your eyeballs would start spinning around in their sockets. If I'm here, we will be joined by Evelinda and Judy Schwartz and Evelinda Ehrman, the Style Twins, because Style Matters. They host the show 10 to noon on Saturdays because they are great style mavens and they have a column in the Rocky Mountain News. And we'll be talking about that on Monday. But if I'm there, I guess I'll be talking about that. Maybe I'll be talking to them from here. They'll be here, I'll be there. But it's not been all worked out. It's pretty much a long shot, however, just to caution you. 303-382-1150. Robert, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, hey, Enid. I was listening to O'Reilly yesterday morning, and he was talking about the proposed constitutional amendment, and he was saying that we live in a democracy, so we should have no problem with passing laws as long as the majority of people were actually in favor of it. Okay? And it occurred to me that if me, O'Reilly, and my buddy Bubba were on a desert island, that me and Bubba should be able to vote that everybody on that island should be homosexual, by his logic. And
can you really vote somebody's sexuality? I know what you're trying to say, but Does Mike make right?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
You can't legislate sexual preference. That's what they're trying to do. And, or actually legislate valid sexual preference. And it is a case of trying to legislate whether or not a person's personal self is a valid personal self. Whether what that person is something that our society is going to accept. And we're saying, if you're gay, we're not going to accept you. We're not going to give you our rights.
The thing is, though, popular culture has accepted a lot of gay-themed shows lately. And it's split down the middle. And I suspect it's more the language than it is the substance. So that what I found out yesterday, and this is why doing talk radio is so wonderful, if it all goes... the way you hope it will, you're smarter at the end of the show than you were at the beginning. And what I took from yesterday's show, I took away a lot of things, but one of the things I took away, many people who were rabidly anti-gay marriage are very solidly pro-domestic unions or domestic partnerships or civil unions. So if it's a matter of it seems largely a matter of semantics and the gut reaction that you get when you talk about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is for a lot of people. They want to reserve the concept of marriage to a man and a woman, however failing an institution that may be. And domestic partnerships, civil unions, they realize that there should be a certain equality if you happen to be gay. So I think there's been a greater acceptance. That's what I'm seeing here. Robert, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Mike, calling from North Glen. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to make 2 points, if I could, please. One, first... I hear conservatives keep saying that the first 3,000 years of history, I keep hearing 3,000 years of history is based on marriage. Well, the first 2,800 years of that was based on slavery. So, you know, things change, and maybe we should change, you know, now as well. But I'm hoping that you maybe know a little bit more about this. But as far as I understand, I don't know the exact language of the proposed amendment, but as far as I understand it, one of the parts of it is that it prohibits people who cannot get married, which obviously are gay people, from being able to have the same legal rights and benefits as those who can be married, which, of course, the whole issue is about civil rights, really, but, of course, they want to make it about marriage. In the same time that they say that they want to keep the sanctity of marriage but also allow citizens who are gay to be able to have the same rights and allow the states to be able to make up their own minds, they're proposing an amendment that disallows those same those exact citizens from being able to have those exact rights.
This is what you have to know. This is an administration that lies and has always lied. So it pretends to do one thing while it's doing another thing.
Right.
Even its scientific reports are a bunch of lies.
Right.
And a lot of scientists are screaming about it. Nobel laureates writing very pointed letters about this very thing. What they really want to do is shore up the conservative base, and what they really want to do is get reelected. They don't want to unite anybody. They
right.
just will do whatever it takes to get reelected. They talk about states' rights, but here they are trying to mandate an amendment to the Constitution. It's just a lot of blather, and everybody has to see it. The only good thing coming out of it is that it sparks a national dialogue on the issue of gay partnerships, gay rights, domestic partnerships, civil unions, and a conversation about what marriage is and what it is not. That's the best thing. The rest of it is complete window dressing. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Ina Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Ina Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapaho Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Napoleon.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Napoleon.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
This is Rocky Moselle of the International Star Registry. For over 20 years, One Gift has become the most unforgettable gift ever received, naming a star after someone. For $48 and a call to 800-282-3333, the Star Registry will send a full-color parchment certificate, sky charts to locate the star, and a fascinating booklet on astronomy. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry now at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that is remembered forever.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Coal Creek Community Theater presents the award-winning comic drama Steel Magnolias. Evening performances will be February 27th and 28th and March 5th and 6th at 7:30 p.m. with matinees February 29th and March 7th at 2 p.m. All performances will be held at the Louisville Center for the Arts at 801 Grant Street in Louisville. For tickets to Steel Magnolias, call the Coal Creek Community Theater box office at 303-665-7211 or go to www.ccctheater.org.
Money for college plus skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Check it out online at goang.com. That's goang.com.
Talk to Alan Combs.
Democrats need a vision. They can't keep doing what they're doing. And this frustrates me because I am a Democrat. I happen to think Democratic policies are the best for America, but they've done a lousy job of articulating them and showing America a vision for the future. You have Howard Dean who's saying, it's only a theory, but the Saudis told Bush about 9/11 before the fact. It's only a theory. Well, then don't say it, because people are going to think you're promoting that theory. You're not going to win saying that. Maybe you win the nomination, but you're not going to become president.
Alan Combs, late night, starting at midnight on AM 1150 KNRC. I see.
The Denver Nuggets are making a run towards the NBA playoffs, and it won't be easy. Saturday night, they head to San Antonio to take on the Spurs. KNRC has all the action for you starting at 6 o'clock. Mello, Andre, the Birdman, Nene, and Camby head down to Texas to meet Tim Duncan and the world champs. The Western Conference is heating up. NBA action with the Nuggets and Spurs Saturday night at 6, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Ina Goldstein, weekdays at noon.
Things we women have to do for these kids.
I don't always agree, but I always listen.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 to noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
157 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I just got this from John in Detroit. He said, testify, there's a folklore floating around that the word testify derives from testicle. The legend has it that ancient Romans would hold their testes while swearing oaths. He says this is not true. I've read that a bunch of places. The word does not derive from testicle, nor did the Romans swear oaths on their private parts. Testify derives from the Latin testis, meaning witness. Testicle also derives from testis. The testes are witnesses to a man's virility. Oh, 303-382-1150. Let's go to the phones. Chuck, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, I got one quick question for you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know why the liberals, when the sodomy laws were being tested down in Texas, it became a federal thing, but now the liberals want the states to decide on the marriage issue. You can't have it both ways. You guys got to decide one or the other.
Why? Consistency is a foolish hobgoblin, I think. Isn't that what Ralph Waldo Emerson said? Somebody said.
I don't know if he said it. I just needed an answer to the question.
Well, tell me what you want me to say, Chuck.
Well, it's nothing I want you to say. I just want to know because you guys made a federal issue out of the sodomy laws, but when it comes to the gay thing, you're saying or gay marriage.
Well, the fundamental.
The sodomy laws.
Wait a minute. All right, you asked me a question, so we don't have much time.
All
let me
sure.
let me attempt to answer it. In terms of the sodomy law, you had the whole issue of. It was sort of an arranged bust, wasn't it, to get two gays caught in the act somehow? Wasn't that the case you're referring to?
Oh, no, I just know it turned into a federal issue. One federal,
yeah, but
one
are you
state.
Are we talking about the same case? This is where two gays were busted. There was a lot of noise emanating, and allegedly a neighbor thought that some mayhem was occurring, so the cops bust in, and they find two men in each other's arms. Wiggling around with each other. And then this test, somehow, is this the test case for Texas and the sodomy laws?
Yeah, I mean...
All right, so you have here a situation where you're saying that a whole class of people is breaking the law if they fall in love with each other. And in order, it was like the civil rights movement. You would never have had any rights for blacks if the feds hadn't stepped in. And I think it's the same thinking there. We're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time in this hour. In the next hour, Bob Dinnerstein and the Passion of Christ.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by John Elway AutoNation. The University of Colorado has called in the big guns to handle its recruiting scandal. Reporter Chris Gallegos has more.
By naming Dr. John DiBiagio as the liaison between the athletic department and school administration, CU President Betsy Hoffman says the school is moving in the right direction. DiBiagio has served as president of Tufts, Michigan State, and Connecticut, but more importantly, according to Hoffman, he served on a Blue Ribbon Commission investigating abuses in college athletics. DiBiagio will also serve as a resource for the independent investigation, which begins next week. Chris Gallegos, Boulder.
Meanwhile, a University of Colorado professor is bringing home a big prize. CU engineering professor Frank S. Barnes won the $500,000 Bernard M. Gordon Prize. The prize recognizes educators who help develop effective engineering leaders. Barnes won the award for creating CU's interdisciplinary telecommunications program 30 years ago. The program aims to produce telecommunications professionals who understand not just technical and technology details, but also policy, economic, and regulatory challenges of the industry. Joel Levitt, a Republican who's a veterans representative in the Denver Mayor's Office of Workforce Development, says he'll be collecting signatures in an effort to recall Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper. Levitt is upset with recent remarks by the mayor regarding gay marriage. Hickenlooper expressed opposition to a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriages, and Levitt says Hickenlooper, quote, could have remained mute to his personal beliefs. To force a recall, Levitt will have to collect 29,613 signatures. The Federal Reserve Chairman has suggested the possibility of cutting benefits for retirees. Alan Greenspan told a congressional panel a wave of retiring baby boomers will mean serious financial strain by the year 2008. He said trimming future Social Security benefits might help, along with raising the retirement age. President Bush has gone on record opposing benefit cuts for retirees. The defense phase of the Martha Stewart trial has ended. The judge says she'll schedule closing arguments soon, and the jury may begin deliberations next week. Stewart's lead attorney called one witness, but it was not Stewart. The domestic trendsetter and her former stockbroker are charged with lying to investigators about the timing of Stewart's December 2001 stock sale. If convicted of securities fraud, the domestic diva faces up to 10 years in jail. Republican National Committee Chairman Ed Gillespie has gone on the attack against Democratic presidential frontrunner John Kerry. Gillespie spoke about Kerry's voting record in the Senate. He said given all the attacks that have been leveled against the Bush administration in the last 6 months, the GOP has to set the record straight. Gillespie says that Republicans have not questioned Kerry's patriotism, but his voting record after his return from the war.
As Republican veterans, we are proud of our service to our country. We are glad that you are proud of yours, but that does not excuse your history of votes, proposals, and statements that would weaken the defense capabilities of the United States of America and hamper our ability to win the war on terror.
Gillespie says he's responding to the nature of the coverage by the media. He says Democrats have spent roughly $29 million attacking the president in the last 6 months and came forward today to show Kerry's record and not trade insults. Meanwhile, Senator Kerry has received another endorsement, this time from former astronaut and Ohio Senator John Glenn. At a rally in Toledo, Ohio, Glenn praised Kerry for his service in Vietnam and the Senate and blasted Bush's economic policies. The frontrunner also won three state contests last night, just in time for Super Tuesday. More than 1,100 nomination convention delegates are at stake that day. Police may have another clue in the disappearance of a Yazoo County, Mississippi family. A spokesman for the Mississippi Department of Public Safety says a white van may have been near the Hargan home shortly before that family disappeared. Michael, Rebecca, and their 4-year-old son, James, vanished on Valentine's Day. So far, no one has heard from them. Yazoo County authorities found blood in the Hargan home, but they've declined specifics. Right before the close of today's session, stocks were higher across the board. The Dow up 43 points. The NASDAQ up almost 18, the S&P 500 up over 4. In sports, it's the Denver Nuggets versus the L.A. Lakers tonight at the Pepsi Center. It'll be the second time since he was accused of rape that Kobe Bryant will take the basketball court in Colorado. On January 7th, Bryant was booed by Denver fans every time he touched the ball. Bryant was asked today if he's concerned about getting another rude reception tonight from Denver fans.
I don't know. I mean, last time we came here, what I'm focused on is the fact that they beat us pretty bad. So I want to come in tonight and see if we can return the favor.
Nuggets are coming off their loss to the Grizzlies in Memphis on Monday. College basketball action tonight. CU Buffs have a home game against the Oklahoma Sooners. Buying a new vehicle at John Elway is worry-free. Get a low, no-haggle price, a special price match guarantee, and a 3-day, 150-mile money-back guarantee with a John Elway new vehicle. Honest. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Or Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
WB2. Tonight on WB2 News at 9. Is your phone bill hundreds, even thousands more than you expected? More and more people are becoming prey to a new kind of thief.
They said that my long-distance service had been switched to this new company.
The new con, changing your long-distance carrier without your permission.
I've been slammed.
The problem is, it's not illegal, and you're still responsible for the bill. But there is good news. We'll tell you one simple thing you can do to make sure this never happens to you. Tonight on WB2 News at 9.
This is
WB2 Morning News.
Fresh local news whenever you wake up.
Just choose the time that works for you.
The most local news in the morning and weather and traffic on the twos.
It's a great way to start your day.
You should join us.
Make the most of your time in the morning. WB2 Morning News with Tom Green and Natalie Tisdall.
This is one show you don't want to miss.
Weekday mornings from 5:30 to 9. Because your time counts.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to check the roads. Here's Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by James Hardy Building. The latest problem coming in, Broadway and Evans. Watch for that. Southbound 225 to I-25, just a touch slow. And we do have some construction for you for about another half an hour, 45 minutes, right at Leedsdale between 4th and Quebec. James Hardy Siding provides homeowners the beauty of wood without the usual maintenance. Visit them on the web at jameshardy.com to learn more. That's JamesHardie.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the mornings starting at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. For the next several days, our temperatures are going to continue to run above seasonal norms, but a storm system on the weekend threatens to bring another little mix of rain and snow. With mostly sunny skies, we'll top out around 57 for the high today, 29 for the low tonight, 59 tomorrow, and a breezy 56 on Friday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 58 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and then I'm not yours for a couple of days. I'll be in Washington, D.C., and if I'm lucky, the Academy Awards, but that's pretty much a long shot. But Tom Reed, T.R. Reed of the Washington Post, will be filling in for me both Thursday and Friday. We are joined in this segment, and I have really been looking forward to this, by Bob Dinnerstein, who is the film critic for the Rocky Mountain News and has seen The Passion of Christ. Bob, thanks so much for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
Tell me, what was it like?
Well, that's a broad question. I'm not quite sure where to start. To address a couple of the things that I think have been uppermost in people's minds in the discussion prior to the release of the movie, let's start with the easiest one, which is violence. And it is a very violent and graphic movie, difficult to kind of sit there and watch because it crucifixion and scourging were not pleasant things to behold, and Mel Gibson decided he did not want to make a movie that shrinked from showing the reality of that kind of punishment.
When you talk about scourging, what is scourging?
Whipping. It's in the movie, it ranges from whipping with sticks to whipping with some kind of device that actually rips the skin off of people. So, leaving them, you know, bloodied and just beaten basically, literally to a pulp. So that's what's
scourging. Is that true? Is that true to the biblical scholarship that we have? Is that what happened?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not a biblical scholar. Does it say that Christ was scourged in the New Testament? Yes, yes. So that, you know, the description of that, I don't believe it's described in any detail in the New Testament. But again, I'm probably the last person to ask about.
Let me go back.
Biblical scholarship questions.
Let me go back then. As a film, let's start because you are a film critic. As a film, how does it work?
Well, I think the film. I had a generally positive reaction to it as a film with some big time reservations. I think its biggest problem to start, well, let me start with its strength. I think its biggest strength is that it brings to life a story that is important to a lot of people for a lot of different reasons, and does it in a way that is fairly unusual for that story. It is also, and I think this is the greatest thing about the film, it's in Aramaic and Latin with subtitles. Listening to Aramaic and the characters, all of the characters who are Jewish in the story speaking Aramaic really gives you a different feeling for that story than the kind of overblown English that we're used to seeing in Bible movies and maybe, you know, we're accustomed to, say, from the King James Version of the Bible. It has a kind of simplicity that I found interesting and quite compelling. So I think that's kind of the major achievement of the movie, along with the fact that it's very well acted and for the most part, beautifully shot. But I think dramatically, and this is not, we're not talking liturgical questions here, but from a dramatic point of view, I think it has one major flaw, and that is that you don't see enough of Jesus prior to the beginning of the Passion so that you have a greater way to kind of feel what he's going through as well as watch it as a participant. And the shame of that is that the actor who plays him, James Caviezel, does a terrific job, and there are a few flashbacks, very brief flashbacks, to moments in Christ's life that in which you sort of get a sense of, oh, so here's a guy, you can see why people would want to follow this man and why they would be attracted to him. And I think the movie needed more of that to put it in kind of balance. It's like, you know, you're watching, it's basically you're watching the third act of a three-act drama in which you don't see the first two acts. So I guess the other side of that is to say, well, everybody knows that. Why do you have to show it again? And there's some legitimacy to that argument. But for myself, I found like I really wanted to see more because I thought it would have made that third act feel a lot more effective for me emotionally.
Are you saying then, and my guest, if you're just tuning in, Bob Dinnerstein, who is a film critic for the Rocky Mountain News, we're discussing The Passion of Christ, which he saw, when did you see it, Monday night?
Monday morning.
Monday morning. Are you saying that the character of Jesus would have been, it would have had more emotional resonance for you, it would have been more fleshed out, had you been able to see what preceded the Passion?
Yes. That's essentially, I mean, I guess what I wanted to see was a little more Jesus to balance the Christ part of the story. And again, I don't know if I'm speaking accurate here from any kind of theological standpoint, but, you know, just as a movie viewer and a person who's not Christian, and, you know, to me that would have, I think that would have brought the story alive in a much more vivid way. I think the actors in this movie all could have done it too. They're all very quite good.
So, what were the downsides of the film? You would have more emotional development for Jesus. And what else did you see?
I think that's the main. To me, that's the main downside. I did not find. I mean, although the violence, you know, for me, it's the kind of stomach tightening violence that you know, or watching with that sort of feeling of, oh my, this is really not fun to watch. But at the same time, you know, I think it's a little bit hypocritical to complain about the level of violence in a movie when, you know, I've certainly recommended many, many violent movies in which the violence served probably was far more gratuitous than the violence in this movie. So the general level of it didn't bother me. I think that was my main complaint is with the movie is just what I already told you.
What's the grade you're going to give this film?
I gave it a B.
A B?
A B.
What about it has been called controversial and possibly anti-Semitic. What were your views when you watched that film?
Well, you know, I did not, I'm Jewish, watching the film did not make me run out of the theater fearful for my life or worrying about how people are going to react to it. There's stuff in that film that can be read. One of the things I said in my review is that it's a kind of religious Rorschach. I think it can be read in a lot of different ways. And to me, if you want to make the case that this could fuel anti-Semitism, you can find things in the story that will do that. The Jewish priesthood is portrayed in, I thought, particularly callous terms. Gibson has decided that he wanted Pontius Pilate to be a kind of a more sympathetic figure than he sometimes portrayed has been portrayed in other movies. He's sort of a vacillating guy who accedes to the demands of the Jewish priesthood somewhat reluctantly to get rid of a troublemaker.
But other accounts of Pontius Pilate have him as as inflexible.
Right, right. I mean,
not a nice man.
Those are interpretive matters. The film does, again, try to balance this by there are explicitly stated things in the film that tell you that, you know, Christ himself believed that he had come to do this and that this was his mission and this was his, you know, that he accepted willingly. He was ready to make this sacrifice, with some trepidation initially, but he was accepted this as his destiny and went on to do it. You can make either case, but I have to say personally, did I walk out of the film, you know, all upset about it? No, I did not.
Well, I talked to a friend, Rabbi Steve Foster, the other night, and I asked him what he thought the upside of this would be, and he said he thought that the upside would be a greater dialogue between different religions. Although there were some criticisms today, I noticed in the news, in this country where we're not having religious wars, at least not yet, what happens when this movie is screened in places like Saudi Arabia and in Europe where they're having serious problems of anti-Semitism? So those questions are open.
I guess they are. I mean, I don't know how, you know, I I have no idea how that will play out. I think that, you know, Rabbi Foster is right in that it could do that. I don't know that it will, but it could. It could be a springboard for a really meaningful discussion. And I think it's fair to say that, there's a lot that each side could learn from the other side if such a discussion really were to take place.
Is this a film for children?
No.
Don't take your kids to this film.
No, it's
too,
you know,
gory.
I think that the story is grounded. I think that, you know, and again, you can argue about whether this is the best way to tell the story or not, but Mel Gibson decided that he wanted to make, and I say this not having discussed it with him, just based on the film that we saw, he wanted to make a film that did not shrink from the horror of what happened to Christ. And as a result of that, he's made a film. No, this isn't your sort of golden book version of the Passion, suitable for kids. It's just not. I think, you know, if I were a little kid, I'd be really disturbed by this film.
Mel Gibson's father has been quoted as saying that the Holocaust is a sort of a fiction. I don't think he said it as strongly as that, but he thinks the Holocaust has been overblown. So Mel Gibson doing this film and his father being a very strict, I don't know if I would say fundamentalist, but has a very strict interpretation, very maybe part of a fundamentalist Catholic sect, has been very controversial. And the marketing of this thing has been interesting, too. Usually there are a bunch of films that are on the screening list for the broadcast press, but I never saw this one appear. Is that how did they do it? How did they roll this one out?
Well, the way this film started, first of all, you know, let's go back a little bit further than just the immediate marketing in the film. I think when the first sort of it was talked about, the film was sort of, people thought, you want to make this film and you want to do it in Aramaic? Are you kind of, who would want to see such a film?
So he used his own money, $30 million.
Yeah, and went on to make this film, and it has been marketed by showing it to, I think it's fair to say that he's shown it to audiences where he thought there would be sympathy for the film. It's not all church groups. There have been some commentators. There have been, you know, the Michael Medved, who's a, you know, obviously a conservative talk show host and movie guy, saw it early on, and he basically endorsed the film. So it's been shown around to try to build interest among groups. They've sold, there've been sales, group sales to churches and that sort of thing. But again, you know, movies are marketed this way, and you know, it's just what's really unusual about this is that we're talking here religious groups. If the same techniques were used and we were talking about sci-fi fans, no one would pay even a little bit of attention. You know, they go to sci-fi conventions, they get everybody all whipped up, they show trailers, they have special showings of films and things like that. So it's what's interesting from a business standpoint is that he's applied, or he or whoever has designed the marketing of this movie, has applied these techniques in a religious context. And I think what's going to be interesting is, if this film makes a lot of money, do we see more of this in mainstream entertainment, where people say, hey, you know, we can do this.
Of course we're going to see more of it. Look what's happening with the success of the Da Vinci Code. But what's interesting is that he was sort of a laughing stock. There was a lot of controversy. And now, because this film seems to be doing, or it looks like it's going to be doing very well, all of a sudden there's a different cast to Mel Gibson. And Andy Rooney did kind of castigate him the other night. I don't know if you saw it on 60 Minutes.
I did not see that.
He talked about how he was making money from this thing, the crucifixion. And so he really kind of gave him a little bit of a slap there.
Well, you know, you got to remember, this is Mel Gibson. And if this movie were directed by, I won't make up a name because I can't think off the top of my head of a suitable name to make up. But, you know, if it was directed by you know,
Quentin
Joe Smith.
Quentin Tarantino?
Forget Quentin. Quentin Tarantino has a different religion.
It would have been even
he
a more violent
part of a different religion. We don't need to go there. But if this were directed by somebody who was largely unknown, I think that Gibson's name is a big part of what makes this succeed, what attracts the controversy. I'm not so sure the success is all that easy to replicate for people, because I think, you know, Mel Gibson's a huge movie star, and you know, a lot of the people who would want to dabble in this market are not, and I think it's much harder for them.
All right, let's talk about for a moment about the Oscars, because they're coming up. I have a long shot chance of going to Los Angeles to get in, but I started the process here of getting credentialed way too late, although I have been in the past. I've been there. Talk to me about the films. You got any picks for Best Picture? Best Actor? Best Director?
I think so. I think we can, you know, looking at just those, you know, major categories, I'm thinking, like, I think what the conventional wisdom this year is, and I thought when the nominations came out and we saw that they were, there were quite a few sort of surprises on it. And I thought, you know, I don't think this is going to last through the actual award ceremonies, which I think will turn out to be a little more predictable. And I think Lord of the Rings will win Best Picture, because I think this is the year it has to sort of be acknowledged, the last chance.
Okay.
It's a movie that got commercial. It sort of had the double play of being both critically popular and commercially successful, and it is a tremendous achievement.
Lord of the Rings. So your vote is Best Picture, Lord of the Rings.
That's
you're thinking. You're thinking that's the one that's going to be all right. And who's going to get Best Director?
I think the director of Lord of the Rings will get Best Director.
Peter Jackson.
I think it's a in this case, although you've got a lot of he's the competition's stiff, but I think he's earned. I think he's earned his Oscar. It's a huge project, and, you know.
Sometimes, Bob, it goes to a sentimental favorite. Who do you think will win Best Actor? You've got a good lineup here. You've got Johnny Depp, Ben Kingsley, Jude Law, Bill Murray, and Sean Penn.
I'm thinking, because maybe it's my own view and partly my own desires, I think Sean Penn will win. I hope he will win. The conventional wisdom on this for the past month or so has been that the race is between Sean Penn and Bill Murray. However, last week, Johnny Depp won the Best Actor Award from the Screen Actors Guild, and I wondered if there might not be a kind of small upset in the making if, say, Murray and Penn were to kind of divide the votes so much that someone like Johnny Depp could step through.
All right,
I hope Sean Penn wins, because he's the best actor on that list over time, and I thought he was great in Mystic River.
Yeah, he's a wonderful, and he used to, I would run into him where I used to live. I used to live in Marin County, and he'd be around. He always went to the same joint for lunch that was very unpretentious, and he's very tiny, actually.
Yeah, I met once here. He was at the Denver Film Festival a couple of years ago where he received an award, and, you know, he's an odd sort of reclusive person, at least that's how he seemed in that setting, and I don't know that I'd want him to be my best friend, but I think he's a great actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
I hope he gets the award.
Best Actress. We're up against Keisha Castle Hughes, Diane Keaton, Samantha Morton, Charlize Theron, and Naomi Watts.
Another tough field, but I think that Charlize Theron will get it. I think she was, not only did she physically transform herself to play a serial killer in Monster, but I thought she really did bring more to it than just a physical transformation. She had that woman's anger and volatility and a bit of vulnerability, and it was a performance that I don't think anyone knew that she had it could possibly give. So I think that she will end up winning. It's harder for someone like Keaton. That was sort of a comedy. It's a comic role. You know, if there's a sentimental favorite among those actresses, I guess it would be Diane Keaton.
Best Supporting Actor. Alec Baldwin, Benicio del Toro. How do you say his name? The guy in America, Digimon Hansu.
You said it.
Digimon Hansu. Tim Robbins, The Mystic River. Ken Watanabe, The Last Samurai. I think Benicio del Toro. You don't think? Or
no,
it's Tim Robbins.
I say Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins, okay.
He's wonderful. They're actually, you know, again, it's typical, too. These supporting categories are always tough because the performances are almost uniformly good. There's hardly ever anyone on those lists in any year that you look at and go, what are they doing here? not the case. Usually it's a very strong category, but I think Tim Robbins would go, which would make for a, at minimum, imagine it, Sean Penn and Tim Robbins win Oscars. That could make for some interesting acceptance.
Oh, that way. Oh, we want to be in the press room for that one.
Yeah.
And Best Supporting Actress. I'm going to guess that you're going to go for Renee Zellweger, but I don't know if I'm right about that.
Yeah, good guess.
Is that a good guess? Cold Mountain?
Yep.
Okay, and the competition is the woman who is the Persian woman who is in House of Sand and Fog, whose name I cannot pronounce, Shohreh Aghdashloo.
Yeah,
does that sound
right?
Patricia
you
Clark,
pronounced it.
Marcia Gay Harden, and Holly Hunter, and you're going to go for Renee Zellweger.
Yep, I think that's a really strict yes, because I think you know last year she didn't get it from Chicago, and of course that was Best Actress, but still it'll be a chance to make up for that. To me, you know that she brought that picture all. When she showed up, and I was not a huge fan of Cold Mountain, when she showed up in that movie, it kind of showed you how lifeless the rest of the movie was. Very good performance, but if I had a vote to cast, I think I'd vote for Holly Hunter, who I thought was remarkable in 13. And I like all the other actresses. It would break my heart to have to pick one out of that group, but that's if I had the vote. That's who I'd vote for.
I know you've got to take off, but just let the rest of us know, if we haven't been to the movies lately, what are some good films we should be seeing besides these are the ones that are obviously, you know, the nominees, which are Seabiscuit, Mystic River, Master and Commander, Lost in Translation, and Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Unfortunately in a moment where most of the good films are from last year, you know, and it's so funny because the Oscars have been pushed up this year, and so we haven't, you know, the sort of new releases, we've yet to see anything really terrific Hollywood-wise. Miracle is not a bad movie, the story of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team and its triumphs is a good movie with a good performance by Kurt Russell. There's a new documentary, which is nominated for Oscar, opening this weekend here, delayed after being around a lot of the rest of the country, Fog of War, Omaris's sort of cinematic portrait of Robert S. McNamara, the former Secretary of Defense. That's a very good movie. Everything else has been, it's been a very dispiriting January and February for new releases in general.
Rob Dinnerstein, thank you so much for joining us today. Always a pleasure. Film critic for the Rocky Mountain News.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope you get into the Academy Awards. By all means, dress properly. Don't embarrass.
You know what I did the last time? They had me. I said I would go. I was going with a film crew from KRON TV in San Francisco. And I said I'd take a ticket, even if it was wedged between Luella and Hedda, who've been dead for about 1,000 years, the two of them. And believe me, that's where the ticket was. It was in the 50th balcony somewhere. And I took a look at this ticket where I thought, to get to that seat, you're going to need oxygen. And I just walked in, and I walked in behind Al Pacino and Diane Keaton, who were then an item, and I just sat down at the first seat that was available, and it happened to be next to Kris Kristofferson, who was my seatmate, and every time I grabbed into my purse for some gum or some candy, he wanted some too, and he filled me in on all the gossip. It was great. I don't think you can do that anymore. I think it's a lot tighter now.
No, I think you get stuck in a press room where you're basically watching a big screen television is what happens to people who go out there, and then you get to listen to sort of see them when they come backstage and talk to the press. I think
and say the same things to the same dumb questions?
Yeah, pretty much. But it's always fun. I look forward to it only because each year there's always someone who comes out and embarrasses themselves, which it's always reassuring to the rest of us to
yes.
See famous people looking silly.
Are you going or are you going to watch it?
No, I'm going to my living room. I'll be watching it on television and writing from there.
Well, you'll be properly dressed, whatever you have on, Bob Dinnerstein.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Bugging just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Picture a boy with 104 fever, his parents taken to the hospital to have him checked out. Did you know one of the first people to make him comfortable is an architect? Specifically a member of the American Institute of Architects. When the hospital built their new ER, they involved an AIA architect early on to design a child-friendly pediatric ER wing so that 104 fevers maybe don't feel so bad. AIA, building on your vision, go to www.aia.org.
Come Out presents A Cleaned-Up Gangster Story.
Did you rat me out? Did you rat me out?
Hey, why don't you go...
Fudge.
Yourself, all right?
You ungrateful piece of...
Salami.
Next time I see you, I'm going to take a bat and break you.
Fudging rump roast.
If we can clean them up, we can help make your fuel injectors clean, too. One bottle in the tank helps clean out harmful deposits and can restore lost performance. Gum Out. Good, clean driving.
A
All right, then. The first thing we'll do is divide everyone into two groups. Those of you who travel less than once a month, please turn your volume dial counterclockwise. And might I advise you to get out more? You deserve it. The rest of you, esteemed airline pilots, flight attendants, millionaires, professional athletes, congrats, you've made the cut. And should concurrently visit locatingme.com, where you'll find a service designed to aid you and your family in an emergency. When you're away, you want your family to feel confident that they could contact you at any time. And further, that they have access to pertinent medical information from any computer in the world. LocatingMe.com does this and more. And because you're a special and unique individual, if you're not completely satisfied, return your ID cards within 30 days and your entire subscription price will be refunded. No obligation. This concludes our discussion. And homebodies, you may readjust the volume as you see fit.
Visit LocatingMe.com, where you'll never be out of touch.
Talk to Judy and Evelinda on Style Matters.
Zelle Bündchen.
Right. Is it Bündchen? Is that your pronouncing name?
That's how I'm pronouncing it. Okay. Bündchen with the two little dots over the U. That's probably the original size of her boobs before surgery. Okay. Pamela Anderson.
Wait a minute. Let me digress a minute. Speaking of fake, I don't know if hers are fake or not, but Heidi Klum.
They're all fake.
The Victoria's Secret model. You and I went to Victoria's Secret this week to do a story, and there's a picture of her I've never seen.
You can see the implant.
It was the ugliest thing we'd ever seen.
Style Matters, Saturdays at 10 a.m. on AM 1150 KNRC. Should you buy or sell those stocks on Monday? Find out Sunday afternoons at noon with Ron Asana of CNBC. The name in business. Exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:33 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and then I'll be off for the next 2 days. And I'll be back with you on Monday, either from here or from Los Angeles. More likely from here. You know what they have at the Academy Awards? Well, I'm trying to get into the Academy Awards, and people are working on feverishly on my behalf, but it was a very late request, so probably it won't happen. But they're still at it. They haven't told me no yet. They have sitters. They don't ever want to show you an empty seat when they're panning the audience. So if somebody gets up to take an award, they have a whole squadron of people who don't do nothing but sit in the seats. And they're usually good-looking people, usually public relations people from the studios. They're dressed a certain way, and they sit down, and so you never see an empty seat. And also, what you don't realize, too, is that this is completely done for television. There are these rights. It's broadcast all over the world, and so there are these tremendous rights that they sell for a lot of money. And so, therefore, when TV cuts away to commercials, what happens, or at least it happened the year that I was there, is that the stagehands come out to change the scenery and to sweep the stage, and they come out, they are squadrons of stagehands all wearing tuxedos, dinner jackets, and they come out to do what has to be done, and they do it right in front of the audience. It's not like at least the year that I was there, it's not like they drop the curtain and this all happens behind the curtain. It happens right in front of the audience, or it did that year. And I had a laugh because here it is, all about film, but definitely made for television. I'm thinking about seeing The Passion of Christ. There are many movies that I have missed this year. I just haven't had a chance to see as many of them as I would have liked to. So I'm going to try and get there. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about a lot of things. We've been talking about gay marriage. We've been talking about the Constitution. We've been talking about the progressive Rocky Mountain Progressive Network. And for all the legislators that have supported the ban on gay marriage, they're going to ask them to sign a pledge of fidelity. Because if these legislators are so interested, and this is starting with Governor Owens, of course, if they are so interested in strengthening the apparently failing institution of marriage, they could start by pledging fidelity to their beloveds and to their spouses. And Governor Owens and his wife, still in what is not, they haven't rescinded the title, a trial separation, or a trial by separation, however you want to put it. When the announcement was made, there was never an announcement that accompanied their separation announcement that said nobody else was involved. So, of course, that opens the door to massive, massimo speculation. And the Rocky Mountain Progressive Network is going to ask Governor Owens, since he's a family values guy and he seems to be supporting the constitutional ban on gay marriage, they're going to ask him to sign this pledge of fidelity. Do you think he's going to do it? Will they be successful? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 58 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by D.R. Horton Melody Series. Dr. John DiBiagio has been appointed to the newly created position of Special Assistant to the President and Chancellor at the University of Colorado. DiBiagio has served as the president of three universities and was a member of a Blue Ribbon Commission on Intercollegiate Athletics. He'll serve as a liaison between the CU administration and the athletic department and will be a resource for the independent panel investigating the recruiting program at CU. Joel Levitt, a veterans representative in the Denver Mayor's Office of Workforce Development, says he'll be collecting signatures in an effort to force a recall election for Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper. Levitt is upset with Hickenlooper's comments opposing a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriages. Tonight, Kobe Bryant makes his second appearance on a Colorado basketball court since he was accused of rape last summer. The LA Lakers are in town to play the Nuggets. Last time Bryant played at the Pepsi Center in January, he was booed each time he touched the ball. D.R. Horton, America's Builder Melody Series, owned for under $1,000 a month. No down, no closing cost programs available. Visit MelodyLiving.com or call them at 1-866-MELODY-H. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:38.
Or Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Bugging just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Campbell's Chunky Herb Roasted Chicken with Potatoes and Garlic Soup, with big chunks of perfectly roasted chicken. Tonight's the night for one of three new Chunky Roasted favorites. They'll fill you up right.
KNRC News Time is 2:38. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Albertsons, and trying to clean up an accident in Havana, just north of I-20 or I-70. We do have another problem. Broadway and Evans should be just about out of there. Southbound 225 still a little slow, making your way to I-25. Introducing new Albertsons Blue Ribbon Beef this week. Pick up a delicious cut of Blue Ribbon boneless round steaks. Buy one package, get the second of equal or lesser value free. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Michael Reagan beginning at 6 right after Doug on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. It looks like the next winter storm hits us by the weekend, but it's nice and quiet till then. With mostly sunny skies, we'll top out close to 57 for the high today, fair and 29 tonight, a mix of sun and clouds, 59 for the high tomorrow, partly cloudy, breezy, 56 on Friday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy now, 58 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get rid of high monthly house payments. Take advantage of some of the best interest rates in history, as low as 3.25%. Then call Western State Mortgage at 888-617-5255 and get a loan package custom tailored for your individual needs and lower your payment by hundreds of dollars per month. Start your 2004 with a financing solution from Western State Mortgage. Whether it's debt consolidation or home refinancing, Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad. If they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Western State Mortgage will guarantee your experience will be positive. So start your 2004 off right and call them now at 888-617-5255 or visit them online at WesternStateMortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. 888-617-5255. Call them now. 888-617-5255. Western State Mortgage, your local refinance partner.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. Wall Street broke a five-day losing streak today. In moderate trading, the Dow gained 35 points to close at 10,602. The Nasdaq rose nearly 18, ending at 2023. There was some disappointment over a report showing home resales fell in January, but that's down from record levels the month before. And the National Association of Realtors expects home sales to remain strong throughout the year. Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan caused some raised eyebrows today, saying Congress should consider cutting benefits at some point in the future for Social Security retirees rather than raising taxes. President Bush responded by saying he would safeguard those at or near retirement, and Senator John Kerry pledged he would not touch those benefits if he's elected. And AT&T has just announced it's planning to cut 8% of its workforce in 2004, 4,600 jobs. The largest long-distance company expects that will save $400 million this year. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
How did the Avalanche or the Nuggets do last night? Find out with Tony DeSiri.
Tony DeSiri.
Morning Sports Reports, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:42 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. All right, let's do it. Let's give away some tickets right now. We have two tickets to give away to the Oscar party. It's the only sanctioned Oscar party that the Academy sanctions in Denver. It benefits the Denver Film Society. It's presented by God Health Jewelers. It's going to be this Sunday, Feb 29. It's going to start at 5:30 p.m. And you have to go to Rise Nightclub. It's 1909 Blake Street in Denver. I want you to be the 10th caller. You be the 10th caller, 303-382-1150. These tickets are worth $200. It's a pair of tickets. You be the 10th caller, and let's see, three have already been dispatched with. So we have seven more to go. You be the 10th caller. Oh, it's lighting up. You be the 10th caller, and you're going to get these $200 worth of tickets. But you have to bring your ID because your name's going to be on a guest list. Let's see, what are you going to get? You're going to enjoy an evening of cocktails, Mediterranean cuisine, a much-anticipated silent auction, and all that plus more while watching the 2004 Oscars live from Hollywood. You're going to get your picture taken with an authentic Oscar statuette. Who can't talk back to you, you'll be able to cast a ballot in the Predict the Winner contest. I'm guessing that we have a winner. Let me just see. Yes, he says, yes, we do. All right. So this is, the tickets are valued at $200. Your name's going to be on the guest list, bring idea, and I think we have a winner. So somebody just won a wonderful gift, and if I get back in time, I'll stop by too, but I don't know if I'm going to be back in time, and I don't know if I'm going to be in Los Angeles or Washington, D.C. It gets a little bit complicated. A couple of things that you might not have realized. It turns out that the sex industry is no longer a man's world. More and more women are going into adult entertainment. They are setting up production companies. There's a story here in the New York Times about a woman who's a lawyer. She's in her 20s. And somebody else who was in sales, I think, and the two of them got together, and they have set up as female entrepreneurs in the adult entertainment industry. So they're producing adult videos, and I would bet that they probably clean up because I guess the biggest consumers of adult videos are women, or at least they are big consumers. 303-382-1150. Well, equality means that equality means that anybody can be a pornographer. Bin Laden is supposedly surrounded. That's being reported by the English newspapers. And we have a winner. Let me announce the winner. Brad from Golden is the winner of those two tickets. Has he won other things? Does he sound familiar? No? Okay, maybe he's called the show. Brad from Golden, congratulations. He just won the two tickets for the Academy-sanctioned Oscar party in Denver, and that's this Sunday night. One of the things that President Bush has said is that he doesn't read very much. He likes to pretend he doesn't read. But he does get these highly classified daily digests, these briefings that he gets. And they provide him with his daily intelligence updates. But they are being scrutinized within the government and Congress because there's been a lot of criticism that the information Bush has been given. You know what? Maybe I was right. That was just a Freudian slip. President Butch, George W. Dickey Butch, has been given on Iraq and other matters has not reflected a broad range of views. So in other words, what they have done is that certain other agencies that had input into the presidential daily briefing have been cut out of the loop, and he is only getting input from fewer and fewer sources, and he doesn't get the other side of issues. They're only giving him the side they want him to have. Calvin Trillin just did a piece about Dan Quayle, Reconsidered. He says, am I the only one here who's going to speak up for Dan Quayle? This is a role I must admit that I never expected to assume. I do not think that during the elder George Bush's administration, I was not the worst of the Quayle bashers. But he's talking about second thoughts about a maligned vice president that next to George W. Dickey Butch, Dan Quayle doesn't, you know, actually looks like a solid citizen. He actually looks like he knows what he's talking about. So here you have, he goes on to talk about that he had, that Dan Quayle wasn't embarrassed to say that he had a C-plus average. George W. Bush had a C, and Dick Cheney flunked out of Yale twice. Nobody ever accuses them of not being able to spell potato. Remember when Dan Quayle got into all this trouble because he misspelled potato? He at least was a C-plus, and he went to law school, which is more than George W. Dickey Bush did. And Dick Cheney flunked out of Yale twice. I don't know what you want to make of that, but you could make something of it. Meanwhile, Jenna Bush, one of the wild, a wild child, one of the two wild children of George W. Dickey Butch, talk about hiding in plain sight. Here's what the tabloids are saying, that her new boyfriend is wanted by the law. The guy's name is Fabian Bisabi. He has 3 warrants out for his arrest, but that didn't stop him from dirty dancing with President Bush's daughter, Barbara, right in front of the Secret Service. He was photographed bumping and grinding with her on a dance floor during a party in a Manhattan nightclub. He's 25. He's been dubbed the new It Kid by the New York Observer. But he is reportedly wanted on 3 warrants in California, including driving under the influence and speeding at more than 100 miles an hour without a license. What's more, he was arrested for driving with a suspended license and trespassing on the Malibu campus of Pepperdine University after he was booted out of the school, according to court records. He told the New York Observer, having been dubbed the new It Kid, that his family is loaded from telecom and beer brewing interests, but the National Enquirer, sleuths that they are, learned that his dad, who operates a hotel in Miami South Beach, reportedly filed for Chapter 13 bankruptcy in the year 2002. The case was later dismissed, but Fabian, the new boyfriend apparently of Barbara Bush, the daughter of President George W. Dickey Bush, but Fabian called the bankruptcy filing part of his father's, quote, business strategy. Well, being able to spin a story like that means that he really belongs in the White House. He belongs in the Bush family, in the Butch family. Okay, here it is. The Family Steering Committee statement and questions regarding the 9/11 Commission interview with President Bush. They have a bunch of questions that they want to ask President Bush. These are the 9/11 families. They're not getting answers. And here it is. Number one, as Commander-in-Chief on the morning of 9/11, this is what the family wants to know, the 9/11 people, why didn't you return immediately to Washington, D.C. or to the National Military Command Center once you became aware that America was under attack? At specifically, what time did you become aware that America was under attack? Who informed you of this fact? Number two, on the morning of 9/11, who was in charge of our country while you were away from the National Military Command Center? Were you informed or consulted about all the decisions made in your absence? Number three, this is what the families and the 9/11 Commission people want to know of the president. What defensive action did you personally order to protect our nation during the crisis on 9/11? What time were these orders given and to whom? What orders were carried out? What was the result of such orders? Were any such orders not carried out? Four, in your opinion, why was our nation so utterly unprepared for an attack on our own soil? Five, U.S. Navy Captain Deborah Lohr, the director of the White House Situation Room, informed you of the first airliner hitting Tower 1 of the World Trade Center before you entered the Emma E. Booker Elementary School in Sarasota, Florida. Please explain the reason why you decided to continue with the scheduled classroom visit 15 minutes after learning that the first hijacked airliner had hit the World Trade Center. Now, these are amazing questions, aren't they? Number six, is it normal procedure for the director of the White House Situation Room to travel with you? If so, please cite any prior examples of when this occurred. If not normal procedure, please explain the circumstances that led the director of the White House Situation Room being asked to accompany you to Florida during the week of September the 11th. Number seven, what plan of action caused you to remain seated after Andrew Card, Chief of Staff, informed you, the President, that a second airliner had hit the second tower of the World Trade Center and America was clearly under attack? Approximately how long did you remain in the classroom after Andrew Card's message? Number eight, at what time Were you made aware that other planes were hijacked in addition to Flight 11 and Flight 175? Who notified you? What was your course of action as Commander-in-Chief of the United States? You know, no planes were ever scrambled in that 9/11. These are amazing questions being asked of the President of the United States, and he doesn't want to answer them. This is the Family Steering Committee believes that the President should provide sworn public testimony to the full 10-member panel of the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the United States. Collectively, the commissioners are responsible for filling the congressional mandate. Therefore, each commissioner must have full access to the testimony of all individuals and the critical information that will enable informed decisions and recommendations. Before an audience of the American people, the commission must ask President Bush in sworn testimony the following questions, and these are the questions that I am relating. Now, here he is. He's just been told that America is under attack, and he continues reading to these children in an elementary school. And nobody has held his feet to the fire on this. And no planes were sent up to go after any attacks to us. Usually NORAD will scramble jets, and they're going to go up in a second and see to what's going on. Defend this country. It didn't happen. There was no signal given. Why not? These are amazing questions, and he's dragging his feet. He refuses to answer them. I mean, we haven't even talked about it because we have been so busy with the whole issue of gay marriage. So he's knocked off all this stuff, all these criticisms, every place where he's been on the ropes and he is on the ropes. He's on the run. Kerry Edwards have him on the run, and right now he's gotten all this publicity with gay marriage, a weapon of mass distraction, as one of you pointed out. I mean, Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150. KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And I'd like to take a moment to thank both of the networks that gave us our start. Our friends in television, who supported us so well. And, of course, Open, the small business network from American Express, who gave us a line of credit with no collateral required.
The Open Network gives you the tools to make big things happen. When you have an American Express business card, to apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN.
Application subject to credit review. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Larry King, and I'm here with some news your heart's going to love. We all know a few things that taste good aren't exactly good for your heart, but Welch's 100% grape juice, made from Welch's own Concord grapes, not only tastes great, but it's fat-free, cholesterol-free, and certified by the American Heart Association. What's more, Welch's purple grape juice is loaded with natural antioxidant power, and growing evidence suggests that diets rich in antioxidants may reduce the risk of heart disease. So drink up. Your heart and your taste buds will thank you.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Arvada Center for the Arts and Humanities announces its 2004 summer camp programs. Session lengths will vary from 1 to 5 weeks during the months of June, July, and August. These inspiring and creative camps offer experiences for kids aged 6 through 18 in studio photography, hands-on clay, drama, orchestra, dance, and more. To register or request a complete catalog, call the Arvada Center box office at 720-898-7200 or visit the website at arvadacenter.org.
Have you separated from military service and wish you had never left? Join the Air National Guard. Work part-time and earn retirement benefits. Call 1-800-TO-GO-ANG. That's 1-800-TO-GO-ANG.
Talk to Bill O'Reilly.
Hollywood community, as predicted, rallying around the left to get their message out in the presidential campaign. Kicking it off at the Golden Globes. The entertainment industry is going to use its clout and exposure to push forth a certain ideology. You know, I'm the only one that's going to tell you this. Lise Wheel is here. What do you think I'm the only one who's...
You're the brave one, Bill. You're not
the smart one?
Well, let's say brave before smart. Courageous before smart.
Okay.
Bill O'Reilly, weekday mornings from 10 till noon on AM 1150 KNRC. He's standing up for you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ben Ferguson Live, Sunday nights at 6, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:56 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Jordan just handed me this. This just came in if you're a MoveOn.org member. This is another, here, George W. Dickey Bush. Under energy industry pressure, President Bush's EPA plans to defer controls on mercury emissions by power plants for at least a decade. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimate that 4.9 million women of childbearing age in the U.S., that's 8%, have unsafe levels of mercury in their blood. The people hit hardest will be newborn infants. Every year, over 630,000 infants are born with levels of mercury in their blood so high that they can cause brain damage. So you have only a few weeks to get public comments to the EPA on this plan to defer mercury controls. President Bush, his EPA plans to defer controls on mercury emissions by power plants for at least a decade. So this is what you're dealing with this president. Is this the way you want to go? Is this the way you see the country going? I think we have to really make ourselves heard and get politically active. And here's this thing about getting active in the community. It seems like a big drag because everybody's got so many pressures on them. Actually, it is fun. There's something about human beings interacting with each other. Even it galvanizes you, it organizes you, you feel like you've really contributed. It seems like a drag to get involved and go to these meetings, but actually it turns out to be a very interesting thing to do. So I encourage you to get more active in the community. And I think the unintended consequence of George W. Dickey Bush as president has been to galvanize the nearly comatose, the Democrats, which have been among the nearly comatose. MSNBC just called me to appear on one of their shows tomorrow morning, but I can't do it. I'm going to be on an airplane going to Washington, D.C., so you're going to be in great hands. I'll see you back here on Monday. I'll either be coming to you from Los Angeles or I'll be back at the ranch here in Denver. I'll be in Washington, D.C. Thursday and Friday, but you'll be in great hands with T.R. Reid. Tom Reid is right now the Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief of the Washington Post, but he has been the London Bureau Chief and the Tokyo Bureau Chief. He has decades of a distinguished career and lots of insight, and so he's going to be marvelous. He'll be with you today and tomorrow and Friday. And filling in for Doug Kellett, who is en route right now to Washington, D.C., is State Senator Mark Hillman. So stay tuned. He is a Republican. He is going to be filling in, and he'll be with you today from 3 to 6, 6 to 9, Michael Reagan. You start your day with Jimmy Lakey from 6A to 10A, 10 to noon, Bill O'Reilly, noon to 3, me, and I will see you back here one way or another, whether from Los Angeles. We'll be talking about the Oscars, and we'll be probably doing it with Judy and Ann Valinda. I'll either be here in Los Angeles or I'll be here in Denver. And I'll see you Monday, but stay tuned tomorrow, noon to 3. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for all your hard work today. Did a lot. And Jordan Lyles, you too. Thanks to all of you who called and listened. Try to leave the world a better place. Get involved in the community. Clean up anything that's a mess. I don't care what it is, even if it's just a bunch of pencils in the drawer, your junk drawer. Clean it up, and your life will be transformed. Do something generous. I'm Enid Goldstein. You can always join the conversation. Give a warm welcome to State Senator Mark Hillman, Republican, conservative. Oh, my goodness. He'll be with you from 3 to 6 right here on AM 1150, KNRC.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 57 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Sky Ridge Medical Center. Dr. John DiBiagio has been appointed to the newly created position of Special Assistant to the President and Chancellor at the University of Colorado. DiBiagio has served as the President of Tufts, Michigan State, and Connecticut, and was a member of a Blue Ribbon Commission on Intercollegiate Athletics. CU President Elizabeth Hoffman says that DiBiagio brings all the skills and experience required to do a difficult job.
He has the combination of background that we thought was important. And in fact, his name rose to the top of our list very early on.
He'll serve as the liaison between CU administration and the athletic department and will be a resource for the independent panel that's investigating the recruiting program at CU. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper could face a recall election if Joel Levitt can gather enough signatures to force that recall. Levitt, a Republican, is a veterans representative in the Denver Mayor's Office of Workforce Development and would need to collect 29,613 signatures to force a recall. Levitt is upset with Hickenlooper's stance on gay marriage and the mayor's recent comments opposing a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriages. Levitt says Hickenlooper, quote, could have remained mute to his personal beliefs. Cheers and a